93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, May 2nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a young couple was found dead inside their Churchville home yesterday. The home is located on Kitty Knight Drive in Northampton Township, Bucks County. And the couple, who was in their late 20s, lived there for about a year. It's not clear when the crime occurred, but the district attorney's office said the bodies were found Tuesday morning. Police said they received a call about 10:30 yesterday from a painter who was working at the home. He told investigators that he went inside to use the bathroom, and he discovered the body of the husband lying on the second floor. According to police, when officers arrived, they also found the body of the wife upstairs. Both were said to be unresponsive, and police said after further investigation, they believe foul play was involved, so they think that they were murdered. There was no evidence or forced entry at the scene. A rifle was discovered at the house, but they don't think that it was related to the incident, and a car belonging to the victims was also missing. Federal health authorities are issuing warnings to makers of liquid nicotine whose packaging resembles children's juice boxes, candies, and cookies. The Food and Drug Administration says Tuesday that the packaging practice is illegal for vaping formulas. The agency says children could mistakenly drink the liquid, which is intended for use in e-cigarettes and vaping devices. Exposure to nicotine can cause seizures, comas, and heart failure in children. Mm-hmm. The warning letters were sent to more than a dozen companies. Some of the packaging looks like juice boxes, Warhead candies, and Nilla wafers. The action comes 1 week after the FDA disclosed a nationwide crackdown on underage sales of Juul e-cigarettes, which have become more popular among teenagers as a way to vape at school and in public.
The line's getting blurred, though, because Razzles is making birth control pills now.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah, it's weird.
I used to like Razzles.
Razzles is a gum and a candy, Kathy.
Did you see some of these boxes, though? I mean, they really do,
look like juice boxes.
Yeah, legitimately.
Yeah.
Well, hang on a second. Which one is the one on the right that says treetop?
That's an actual juice. That's a brand name juice. On the left is a parody of it, which is the
vape juice.
I saw some look like the candy boxes. You know exactly like what the candy box would look like.
So I want to see the dude who's accidentally vaping a juice box.
A teenager has turned himself into authorities in connection to the stabbing of two other teens at a Stepta station last week. 16-year-old Edward Jefferson of the 1600 block of West Juniana Street surrendered to detectives Tuesday morning. Jefferson was arrested and charged with attempted murder, aggravated assault, and related offenses. The charges stem from a brutal attack on two 17-year-old boys on the platform at 8th Street, the 8th Street Septa Station. Police said Jefferson has been charged as an adult. Notices went up this week informing those living in drug camps under both Kensington Ave and Tulip Streets that they will have to vacate by the end of the month. Last year, the city cleaned up Gurney Street, which served as a drug camp for decades, but residents complained it only pushed heroin addicts to other parts of the city.
That's all it ever does.
Yeah.
By the way, I thought you said Gurning Street, which would be filled with people making that bizarre face.
It's such a joy to drive down Gurning Street.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As part of a pilot program, outreach workers will connect with those most vulnerable to get them into new shelters opening in the neighborhood. Police will start issuing citations for trespassing starting on May 30th. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Pinch hitter Yadiel Rivera hit a one-out RBI single in the 10th to help the Marlins win their fourth game in a row and third consecutive series by beating the Phils 2-1 last night in South Florida.
Jeez.
The Phils lost their fourth game in a row and fell to 4-1 in extra innings. They also lost shortstop Scott Kingery, who came out of the game after he was hit on the right arm by a 97-mile-per-hour fastball from Teyron Guerrero. Aaron Nola gets the start in the series finale tonight, and game time is set for 7:10. In the NBA playoffs, LeBron James had 26 points, 13 assists, and 11 rebounds for his 21st career playoff triple-double, and the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Toronto Raptors 113-112 in overtime to win game one of their second-round playoff series. In the Western Conference, Steph Curry came off the bench to score 28 points in a return from a knee injury and nearly 6 weeks off, and the Golden State Warriors held off Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, winning 121-116. The Warriors now lead that series 2-0. In the NHL playoffs, Alex Ovechkin knocked his own rebound out of midair and passed goalie Matt Murray with just over a minute left in the game to lead the Capitals to a 4-3 win over the Penguins in Game 3 in Pittsburgh. The Capitals are up in the series 2-1. In the West, the Winnipeg Jets were losing 3-0 after the first 20 minutes but came back to win 7-4. Captain Blake Wheeler scored on a power play with 4:59 left in the second, and the Jets scored four times in the second and three times in the third to grab a 2-1 lead in their second round playoff series. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks so much, Kath. Here we go. Wednesday morning, midweek, and we're set for some good stuff today. Obviously, we'll do our regular, which is checking with our friends over at Fox Good Day today. And another thing that we regularly do on Wednesdays, we offer a pretty cool prize, courtesy of our secret text word. And today, we have a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to MMR Rock's Hailstorm at the Reading Eagle Theater, May 10th, with In This Moment, New Year's Day, and Stitched Up Heart. So it's a full night of music.
Wow.
So you can text the word secret to 39333. We will begin that now. And the way that works is we send a word back to you. You send the text immediately. We bounce a word back to you. And you need to know what that word is, because later on we'll ask you to call in with that word. And if you are a designated caller at that time, you will win those tickets. And on top of that, we'll just grab a random texter and we will give away tickets to that event as well. So get started on that now. Text word secret to 39333. And keep your fingers ready, because at 8 o'clock we will give you yet another word to text to a different number for our birthday bucks promotion, which continues. And that's $1,000.
Damn.
So we'll do that five times today, so be prepared for that. On the program, guest-wise today, we have a gentleman named Derek Smalls on the program. Those of you who have seen, this is Spinal Tap. You know who Derek Smalls is. He's the bass player of the band Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah.
He's portrayed by Harry Shearer.
Yeah.
Awesome comedic actor throughout the years. Now, Harry is not going to be on the show. Derek Smalls is going to be on the show today.
We usually don't do this kind of thing, but it's Derek Smalls.
I love it. Yeah. And it's Harry Shearer as Derek Smalls, is a great character.
How can you not?
One of the all-time great spoof movies ever made.
A masterpiece.
And he has a solo album out, and tracks on it include, well, I'll just name one off the top of my head, because I scan it and I actually listen to it, but there's one called Gum in the Gash.
Yes.
Because he's grown up and he doesn't have to use his teeth.
Yes.
Anymore if he doesn't want to.
It's a study, a meditation on being an older rocker.
It's
and
exactly
what you have to do.
Uh-huh. Gum in the Gash.
Gum in the Gash says it all.
It's in the spirit, of course, from the band that brought you things like Fat Bottom and I'm just trying to think of some other songs off the top of my head.
Sex Farm.
Stonehenge and Sex Farm and all those great songs. So Derek Smalls on the program today around 9:15. So that is going on, as well as some other goodies that we have for you. So we're going to have a good time today. It's going to be warming up big time, close to 90 degrees today. So just a heads up on all that. We'll take a break, come back in a second, and we'll dive into the entertainment report with a stupid question and a giveaway to get it kicked off. We'll be back in just a moment. So stay with us this morning, please.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kath, so we have a stupid question this morning, giving away a $100 cash card from Sergeant Scrap.
Sergeant Scrap?
That's right. Sergeant gave us $100. So we're going to do a stupid question and see if you can get it right. And the question that I have for you is this. Amber is a fossilized substance. What was it originally?
Uh-huh.
215-263 WMMR. I learned this from Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. Amber is a fossilized substance. What was it originally? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. We'll see if you can get the correct answer. Today's date is May 2nd. Some birthdays to share with you. Ellie Kemper, who is the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Love her.
She's Kimmy Schmidt.
She's doing some commercials, some Sonic commercials with...
Oh, yeah. The girl from Ally McBeal.
Yes, love her, too. She's also on Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Krasinski.
Yeah, yes. Jane Krasinski.
Yes.
Yeah,
from Vacation as well.
And that's right.
Very funny. And she's you've never seen Bridesmaids, right, Preston?
I have not, and I need to. By the way, are they going to be replacing the two guys?
I hope not, because they're hilarious.
I love those guys. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, sometimes they have just like 10-second commercials, and they just have a little boom, little zinger.
I think they're in one of these. So they realize that they're being replaced by two attractive young women.
Okay.
And so they are a little jealous of Ella Kemper and Jane Krasinski in one of the spots.
Krakowski.
John Krasinski.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks. Yeah, you're right.
Krasinski. So anyhow,
it's Ed Krasinski.
Ted Krasinski.
Ted Bundy.
That's it.
All right. It's O.J. Simpson.
All right.
Got it now.
So anyway, Ellie, I don't know how old she is today. Hang on a second here. She's 50. No, she's
50.
She's 38. I was looking at Elizabeth Barrage. Who was in the movie Amadeus.
Well, we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah, thank goodness. All right, who else do we have here? Dwayne The Rock Johnson has his birthday today.
Most profitable actor working in Hollywood.
He's 46 years old and just keeps on cranking them out, man. He's one of those guys.
Rampage had a number one here. Mm-hmm. And then, but where it's destroying is in China.
No kidding.
The movie is super popular.
All righty.
I loved his Instagram post the other day with a baby Kevin Hart on his chest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of the funniest Photoshops I've seen in a while. And Kevin Hart loved it, too. I mean, and then I think Kevin Hart did respond with a similar Photoshop.
He did.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he put one with his head. And now it's like all of everyone's just Photoshopping their heads on. What's her name? I think her name was Carla or Carly. She was a comedian. She came in here. I forget her last name. But
Aquilino?
She did.
Yes, yeah.
I forget. She did the same thing.
So The Rock is 46 today. It's David Beckham's birthday today as well.
One of the greatest to ever play the game, yes?
Most profitable. I definitely know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a great soccer player for sure.
I know people would bend it like him, Preston.
Yeah, that's what I heard. He's 43 today. Christine Baranski.
Yeah.
Has been in everything from Birdcage to Chicago to the TV show Sybil. And
she's kind of sexy in a weird way.
She is. Yeah. I agree.
She has a quirky nose.
I was thinking of her in Bowfinger. Yeah.
She's great in that. She's 66 today. Donatella Versace.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's my birthday, everyone.
It's so scary.
What did you get me for my birthday?
Yeah.
It's so scary.
It is.
Especially the fact that she looked... She was fairly attractive before she started going cosmetic crazy.
And the fact that she's in that industry, too.
That's it.
Yes. The fashion industry, the outer beauty industry.
Yeah.
And she destroyed her face with all of that work.
Horrific. Maya Rudolph, not the poor poet laureate for the Clinton administration. She used to do the impression on SNL. It was effing hilarious.
Mm-hmm. So she's 63 today. Lou Gramm, a Foreigner. Celebrates his birthday today.
Are you a Foreigner fan?
I was a Foreigner fan. Listen, they were a hit machine as far as the rock goes, and they were kind of, you know, they were hit makers. They were
formulaic, but good.
Yeah, they were the Nickelback of their time.
Yes.
Although they weren't hated, really, like Nickelback is now. But the dude had a powerful, powerful voice, and I always liked him, you know. I remember Jukebox Hero, when that first came out, I was like, oh, my God.
It's rocking.
Listen to this.
Rock. Yeah. It was like rock pop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A la a Nickelback type
of thing. Yeah,
they
yeah.
could write some serious, catchy hit songs that had a rock edge to them.
I saw them at an MGK 4th of July park celebration in New Jersey or something. I think it was one of the original roadies was the only member of the band.
Yeah, Lou Gramm wasn't with them. He left. He had some voice issues. But I think he does on occasion... front the band from time
to
time.
Does he?
Yeah.
I just remember talking to somebody who was kind of bragging that they saw Foreigner at this... I can't remember.
It was just me right now.
No. It was braggy. I think when you say you've seen Foreigner, it's kind of like you're admitting it. You're like, I saw Foreigner at this place.
I saw those guys.
Not like, hey, man, I saw Foreigner
right
at this place.
Yeah. A couple of decades ago, you'd be saying,
yeah.
I saw Foreigner at this place.
Right. But it's like, dude, I saw an REO Speedwagon. Yeah. I saw those guys.
Yeah. So what did you, that's nothing. Come on, you can tell us. I saw REO Speedwagon.
So Lou is 68 today. And then the last birthday we have a NASCAR race, NASCAR driver, Kyle Busch.
Ooh, one of my favorites because he drives an M&M's car.
This just in.
Casey Foster this morning revealed.
Now, is it the Is it the peanut M&M's, the yellow one?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm a fan.
All right.
Look at the gob on this dude.
Yeah, we're looking at a picture of him. I think that's an awkward moment.
It must be.
Wait, I thought you were regular M&Ms. Your peanut?
Peanut M&M's.
Peanut M&M's.
M&M's. Not everyone can put peanuts in their M&M's.
That's right.
It's a sign of privilege and elitism.
I will have to share what an experience that that I'm going to have later on today.
It's amazing.
NASCAR M&M's? Experience.
Yeah.
No, with NASCAR.
And it's using them as suppositories.
It's a big, big deal.
Is this what you were talking about? I think I chimed in like midway through last night. Is that what you were talking about on the call?
Might have been.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Although you said
that was us talking. I want a drone.
Yes.
That's what we were talking about.
No, we talk
drone,
about
NASCAR, whatever.
Same thing. Drone car.
But anyhow, I will. I'll tell you about that in a little bit because it's pretty special. Yes, Steve.
One more birthday.
Oh, it is. Oh, Jeff Gutt's birthday today.
Yeah, whoa.
Lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, and will be performing at the MMRBQ in just a matter of a couple of weeks, man. So
and he's doing a damn good job.
Yeah, he does sound pretty solid, and they're stoked about him. So, Jeff Gutt, how old is he?
He's 42.
42 years old. Yeah. Happy birthday. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Amber is a fossilized substance. What was it originally? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Hunter. Good morning, Hunter.
Morning.
All right, Hunter, do me a favor. Tell me what amber was, the fossilized substance. What was it before?
Tree sap or resin?
Yeah, tree sap, yeah. And resin works as well. That is correct. Hunter, hang on. For you, we have a $100 cash card from Sergeant Scrap, the Delaware Valley's original mobile scrap metal service company. Don't take crap for your scrap. Get the highest price paid on insulated wire guaranteed, SGT-scrap. .com. So Ashley Judd appeared on Good Morning America yesterday to discuss her lawsuit against Harvey Weinstein. In her suit, Judd claims that Weinstein defamed, sexually harassed, and attempted to damage her career. She said, I lost opportunity, lost money, I lost status and prestige and power in my career as a direct result of having been sexually harassed and rebuffing the sexual harassment.
Hmm.
The law firm Gibson Dunn filed the suit, which centers on the Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson's December 2017 comments to Stuff magazine, in which he said Weinstein discouraged him from hiring Judd or Mira Sorvino.
Yes.
Flat out told him that. The suit states, Weinstein,
we're going to prove in this suit.
Weinstein torpedoed Ms. Judd's incredible professional opportunity when he told them that the studio had a bad experience with Ms. Judd and that Ms. Judd was a nightmare to work with and should be avoided at all costs.
Mm.
Weinstein forced Jackson to remove her from the casting list after she rejected him, the suit claims.
What a bastard.
So the lawsuit adds that Judd learned only late last year that something unseen was holding her back from obtaining the work she wanted and had been doing so for decades. The headwind limiting her career was Harvey Weinstein, and specifically the false or malicious statements he made regarding Ms. Judd's professionalism as an actor to Jackson.
You remember when Peter Jackson came out with that revelation, Mira Sorvino was just crying her eyes out because she'd been trying to tell people this for years.
Yep.
And finally, you had a major director verifying it.
Yep. So Weinstein's spokesperson issued a statement, and obviously they are saying it's a bunch of crap and that they're going to fight all this. And it's a bunch of legalese. We look forward to vigorously defending all of these claims and blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. They're obviously going to subpoena Peter Jackson.
Judd has said that any money she earns from the lawsuit will be donated to causes fighting for women's rights.
I don't know if her case is going to, if she's going to win or not, but, you know, just looking at her credits, she really did not do much in the first decade of the 2000s.
She was shut down.
Yeah, and you just wonder why and how these things happen, and maybe this, maybe there's merit here.
Because she had a couple of movies that were actually doing well at the box office.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep, absolutely. Working for Johnny Depp may not be as glam as it sounds. Two of the Pirates of the Caribbean star's former bodyguards are suing him for unpaid wages and overtime.
Bastard.
They also claim that they were forced to protect Depp from himself because of his unsafe behavior.
I'm a little late this week. I'll get you next week.
The suit is the latest in a string of legal battles for Depp, the most prominent of which is a $25 million fraud lawsuit with his former managers who claim that he spends beyond his means.
What I was reading about this article about the bodyguards is that it was as much babysitting as it was bodyguards.
Yeah, I believe it. Former LAPD detective Eugene Areola
There you go. And, that's who I'm hiring.
And Miguel Sanchez, Miguel Scrotum,
yeah,
also claims that they were used as chauffeurs and nannies by Depp's family and were exposed to illegal substances during their time with Depp. So you're right. They were just keeping an eye on him.
You want to see something? Lower the temperature in this room and that lawyer is going to get harder.
In court papers, they allege in early 2016, plaintiffs began to notice a stark change in Depp and the atmosphere on his Hollywood Hills compound. Depp began making sudden and drastic changes to his staff and management team, causing a significant financial crunch for everyone surrounding Depp, except for Depp himself.
And he had a lot of bodyguards.
But they accepted the in-house jobs because, quote, plaintiffs were loyal to Depp and his family and understanding of the financial hurricane that Depp was in.
I'm going to Deppitize you.
That's what he does.
It's kind of a play on words.
Yeah. For whoever works for him.
I'm going to Deppitize you, cowboy.
Raise your right hand.
I'm the sheriff.
They are seeking unpaid overtime wages, meal and rest break compensation, penalties and damages, as well as attorney fees. So yet another issue.
What a rash of crap for Johnny Depp.
Yeah, exactly.
Great, talented actor, but I don't know.
He's a mess of an individual. Kristen Bell and Gabrielle Union are among the stars sharing their struggles with mental health and learning disorders in the second annual installment of the Child Minds Institute My Younger Self campaign. In an emotional video, Bell says that she struggled with depression and anxiety since she was 18.
What?
She said if she could, she'd tell her younger self not to be, quote, fooled by this game of perfection that humans play. She adds, Instagram and magazines and TV shows strive for a certain aesthetic and everything looks so beautiful and people seem like they don't have any problems. But everyone's human, she said. Everyone has problems. Everyone feels yucky on the inside sometimes. And Union shared her struggle with PTSD. She had a real...
What caused that?
Well, she said, I'm here to tell you that I am a PTSD survivor, thriver, a badass MF-er. In her homemade video, she said, I was diagnosed with PTSD at 19 after I was raped at gunpoint.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Well, that'll do it.
She said, and I didn't let it stop me. I didn't want it to define my whole life. And it doesn't have to. Asking for help, needing help, doesn't make you weak or less worthy of love or support or success.
Aren't there? Well, there's a crap load of celebrities in town today, aren't there? For the Michelle Obama thing.
Is that today?
Yeah.
I heard them. I heard them rattling off names.
Yeah,
on the news,
that's today. Like Bradley Cooper, Robert De Niro, a whole bunch of upper level stars coming in for this thing. It's for kids. Signing up for college, you know, the college enrollment, a big initiative.
Please stop calling me.
Then he finally agreed because they kept calling.
Actually, listen, if you're a high-profile celebrity in town, call us. 1-800-232. No, that's the wrong number.
That's
Y-100.
Son of a bitch.
Did you just?
1-800-232.
100.3.
100.3.
Yeah.
Call that number and see who answers.
Right.
Tell them we said hi.
Goddamn thing they won't pick up.
215-263-WMMR. That's
it. Wow, there we go. Wow.
Some things burn deep.
I know.
You never forget it.
That's your post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm. So anyhow, Gabrielle Union added, you can literally be anything you want to be. PTSD isn't a death sentence. You don't have to be alone or feel isolated. There are so many of us out there that are feeling... that are feeling with exactly what you're dealing with, and it doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you anything but human.
If I can add on to your celebrity offer there, Preston, we are getting breakfast pizza today.
Ooh!
Wait a second.
Yeah. I'll bet you.
I'm taking care of this.
I will bet you that Bobby De Niro has never had breakfast
Knowing
pizza.
Knowing that guy,
he'd
go bonkers for breakfast pizza.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm making you breakfast pizza.
Exactly. So I think he'd like it.
Who's Jussie Smollett?
Do not know.
Just, why do you ask?
Right in the middle of Rebel Wilson, Jesse Tyler
These
Ferguson.
Are people attending this event?
Yes. Yeah. Zendaya.
Okay. All right, so here's the list that we have. Bradley Cooper, Robert De Niro, Rebel Wilson. Jesse Smollett. I don't know who that is. Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Modern Family.
Kelly Rowland from
Destiny's Child.
Yeah, Zendaya and Jameer Nelson.
Wow.
Kathy, you have Jameer's number.
Yeah.
Call him. Tell him to bring.
And ask him what?
Tell him to bring Robert De Niro.
Jameer, we'd love to have you come by if you can bring Robert De Niro with you.
Only if.
No, I'd love to talk to Jameer.
We would love to see you driving Robert De Niro over here.
By the way, May marks National Mental Health Awareness Month, and celebs like Belle, Union, James Vanderbeek, Brittany Snow, and Sarah Silverman are sharing personal videos and stories as well, which is cool.
Gussie is handsome.
Who is this?
This is the... I thought it was a woman, first of all.
Is it Gussie or Jussie?
I don't know.
No, here's a guy right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jussie Smollett.
R&B artist.
Oh.
He was in the Mighty Ducks in 1992.
Oh, my God. So he's not wasting any time. He's really parlaying on the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, he's on Empire now.
Oh, there you go. Yes, of course. Of course.
Okay. All right, so call in. Feel free.
Everybody. In fact, drop by. Feel free.
We don't want Jussie Smollett. We want anybody but him because we don't know who that guy is.
No, we do now.
We do now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's working with Robert De Niro.
Yeah. Bobby.
All right, so...
He tells everybody going Bobby, right?
Well, do I know this guy? Yeah.
I think you have to know him.
He's being so informal, I must know him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You blew it!
All right,
I'm with my good friend Casey.
A week after welcoming their third child, Prince Louis, Prince William and Kate Middleton have shared his birth certificate with the world. According to Kensington Palace, William signed the birth register Tuesday morning. The document states that Louis was born on April 23rd and that his full name, and I mentioned this yesterday, is His Royal Highness Prince Louis Arthur Charles of Cambridge. And by the way, we went over this yesterday. It is pronounced Louis.
Louis.
Not Louis. So what do the royals put down for their official occupations?
What do they put down for their official occupations?
Prince William put Prince of the United Kingdom and Duchess Kate put Princess of the United Kingdom.
So huh.
That is their official profession.
They're probably some of the few people who can actually put that down legitimately. I think if we were to try it, it would be an issue. I see here you're a prince.
Sure am.
Yeah, that's why I think I'm your Home Depot manager.
Right, right. Gwyneth Paltrow told Good Morning America yesterday that her kids are psyched that she's getting married again. She and Chris Martin share Apple and Moses. She said, I've never had a wedding or any of these fun like bride kind of things. Paltrow said, I'm really enjoying myself and it's a very happy time, I have to say. And then she underlined that Apple and Moses are, quote, excited for her to marry Brad Falchuk.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't have a wedding with Chris Martin.
She did not.
What'd they do?
They eloped.
So they didn't do a full ceremony.
Right.
A sort. So well, that you should probably save that for the second time anyway.
Yeah, probably
the one you get right.
Yeah,
that would explain the bachelorette party, the huge engagement party, and now the big wedding.
The bachelorette party attended by what 400 people?
Yeah,
that was the engagement.
That was
party.
Engagement.
The engagement party.
Engagement party. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bachelorette party was a squad thing, but but the actual engagement party was 400 people.
400 people. That's great. I'll have to ask in break. Because it's a spoiler alert from the movie.
Oh, okay.
All right,
so, hold up on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so the drama continues for Teen Mom 2 star Janelle Evans. The MTV star allegedly pulled out a gun during a road rage incident last month.
Who did?
What?
This girl named Janelle Evans. She was on Teen Mom 2.
Oh, they're always classy.
Her 8-year-old son was with her. And she reportedly called 911 afterwards. She said, I have my son in the car because my son was at therapy. And she said he's been tailgating me, meaning the other guy, the driver. He's been tailgating me the whole time in traffic, would not stop. And then he races in front of me and purposely slammed on the brakes at like 70-something miles an hour.
So it's in self-defense.
Well, the male driver in the other car then told authorities that she, quote, flipped out when he passed her, trailed her to his home, hit two cars and a mailbox in his yard, and then pulled out a gun.
So it was aggressive.
Yeah, it sounds like... Dude driving was might have been a douchebag, might have been riding her ass, went around her, slammed on the, brake checked her, and that pissed her off enough to follow him home and then go crazy.
Sweetie, mm-hmm. Get mom's gun out of the glove compartment.
It sounds like both of these people are douchebags, but, what are you going
to
do?
I tend to, when I have my kids in the car, even if I've been wronged, you just kind of, all right.
Tamp it down a bit.
Not a bit, all of it.
I mean, you pull out the gun, but there'll be no bullets in it.
Well, and it sucks, too.
Right.
Because you really want to wring that person's neck.
Uh-huh.
And you got your kids, and you can't risk it.
And you just can't.
Yeah, so let me show you how to handle people.
Yeah, right. We're gonna call this a teaching moment.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Olsen loves her role in the mega hit Avengers Infinity War. She just wishes that she didn't have to show quite as much skin for the part.
She looks fantastic in these movies. And she's really good with a difficult hero to pull off because a lot of what she's doing is just gesticulating.
Right. I don't recall her showing a lot of skin. I mean, there was a scene with in the beginning of this movie, but she was kind of in a room. She was just wearing shorts.
She has sort of like a bustier, like a cleavage exposing.
I guess so.
A little bit. It's not off the charts, but it's a little bit more plunging.
I saw Infinity Wars twice. Did she lose her accent? The character?
It's all but gone.
It slipped a little bit more. The first movie, very thick. Second movie, we had noticed she'd backed off a little bit on it. And now it's way in the background.
Now it's pig Latin.
Yeah. So anyhow, she had said it would just not be a cleavage corset. I like corsets, but I'd like it to be higher. Everyone has these things that cover them. Tessa Thompson does. Scarlett Johansson does. I would like it to cover up a bit, she said.
There is a shot of her going into, maybe it's at the Cannes Film Festival or whatever, a super plunging neckline. Dear God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, she's healthy.
She is, and she's great in the movie.
She really is.
Yep. Jersey Shore star his follow-up with Ronnie Ortiz Magro, spent much of the day feuding with his estranged girlfriend, Jen Harley, but later in the day was seen cozying up with Vanderpump Rules star Sheena Marie.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Vanderpump Rules.
The 32-year-old Marie documented their evening on Instagram stories, saying, I mean, while watching the Vanderpump Rules finale, we have our own reality show in my condo, she says.
What a magical world they live in.
Uh-huh. She,
Did Snooki drop by with Tortinos?
No, but he and Jen Harley welcomed a baby girl together on April 3rd. And,
this is when he called her gutter trash?
He called her a hoe.
A hoe.
That he couldn't turn into a housewife.
Right.
And if you find her in the gutter, you should leave her in the gutter.
This is the mother of my child.
That's okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, Steve.
You gutter slut.
With Totino's, I have found that I prefer those pizza rolls microwaved and not cooked in the oven.
They do suggest that as an option, yes.
Yeah, right. I think they're better.
I'm better for knowing that.
We're clear on that.
Yep. So Kelly Ripa is celebrating two special anniversaries. She toasted yet another year of marriage to Mark Consuelos on Instagram and a year of working with Ryan Seacrest on their daytime talk show. This was on Tuesday. She joked to the Riverdale star on Instagram, Feliz Aniversario.
That means Merry Christmas.
Aniversario. Oh, lover. 22 years. You're a human roller coaster that I'm tall enough to ride. That's a pretty cute line.
Yeah.
And on live, she and Seacrest exchanged sweet compliments, saying, thanks for this great last amazing year. As Seacrest told her at the top of the show, you've been such a wonderful regular addition to my life on and off air. And she said, thank you for taking a chance and moving across the country and leaving your spectacular digs in California and coming to play with us because you have made every day of this job so much more fun.
He's really good on Riverdale. She's awesome. And I think most of us would pay to see them get it on.
The husband
yeah, of her? Yeah, Mark Consuelos. Yeah.
Let's see. Mean Girls and listen to this. This is where Broadway is now. Mean Girls and SpongeBob SquarePants lead the field of the Tony Award nominations.
Dude, I want to see SpongeBob badly.
With 12 each. I do too. I think it's a cute idea. But Steve, as you were pointing out, Broadway is turning into this herd 'em in as many people as you can entity with these pop culture shows that they're now creating.
Yeah, I was reading the article, Preston, where they said Broadway now it really cares a lot about tourists and tourism. So it's no longer Inherit the Wind. It's no longer The Miracle Worker.
Right.
It's SpongeBob and Bikini Bottom. However, they're doing really well.
I'd love to see it. I'm with Casey. I'd like to see it, but it's funny that the subject matter has changed so
much. Equus has been replaced by SpongeBob SquarePants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, I mean, did Frozen open yet?
I don't think so, Casey. So Harry Potter and the Cursed Child was no slouch at 10 nominations, and the revival of Angels in America soared with 11. That started as a stage show, didn't it?
It did, yes.
Yeah. The Bonds Visit also nabbed 11, and a critically hailed revival of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel earned 11 as well. The Tony Awards will air June 10th on CBS from Radio City Music Hall. Sarah Bareilles and Tina Babylina are going to host.
Tina Babylina. So we're watching clips from SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And it's like they did with the You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
They're not really dressed. He's like SpongeBob's, just wearing SpongeBob's clothing.
Yeah, he's a guy. He's not wearing a character outfit.
I'm going to see him
like
in
that.
The full thing. So
I'm not doing a SpongeBob SquarePants.
Mm-hmm. But apparently, it's doing well. And yeah, Casey, Tina Beverly was real. Actually, it's Sarah Barry Ellis and Josh Groban that are going to host.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It does not.
It's the Tony.
Honestly, and for all of our talking about wanting to see it, we will finish out our lives, never have seen it.
Probably. Yeah, exactly.
I probably will.
You think you will?
Yeah. And right. You know what? So there's another one that I'm probably going to see called Dear Evan Hansen. Have you guys heard of that one yet?
No. Dear Evan Hansen?
Yeah. So Ben, you know who Ben Platt is, though, right? Nope. He was, okay. Well, then never mind. Back to you, Preston.
No, go ahead. Who is it?
No, Ben Platt was...
I may know, but I just don't know of recognition of that name.
He was kind of the dorky roommate in the first Pitch Perfect movie, and so he plays this character.
I saw him in Mormon.
Book of Mormon.
Okay. Yeah, yes. he was the star of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the one getting all, like, the big rave reviews on... On Broadway, and my wife wants to see it, and my daughter, you know, so, like, I'll be doing that. You know,
okay, I think so you'll go
so,
to that.
Well, yeah, because my daughter now is, like, super into, like, music theater, so now this is going to be my life.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Marissa, you wanted to comment?
Did you guys know that Angels in America is 9 hours long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the
it's
HBO.
The first act.
Literally.
The stage show is 9 hours long?
My friend went up to New York last week. It's a 7-hour play plus a 2-hour dinner break.
How can you?
What?
Yes.
That's a day of work.
That doesn't make sense.
It started at 1. They had a dinner break at 6. And then he got out of there at 11.
Damn.
No, thank you.
It almost feels.
I had no idea.
It almost feels like a lie.
The series on HBO was really long.
Well, SpongeBob, 6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of characters.
Takes him up through the McCarthy hearings, Preston.
Hey, IFC has snapped up the U.S. rights to The Catcher Was a Spy. And I wasn't familiar with this, but Paul Rudd is starring in it. And he'll be starring as Mo Berg. Berg was, as the title suggests, a pro ball player and a Nazi spy.
I never heard this story.
The Catcher Was a Spy. Obviously, it's a playoff of The Catcher and the Rye.
This was the player that would goose step around the bases.
And why didn't that clue
him
in?
Why didn't they get tipped off?
Is this based on a true story? Anybody ever heard of this before?
For some reason, it sounds like it was.
Ben Lewin directed the film, which also stars Sienna Miller, Jeff Daniels, Guy Pearce, and Paul Giamatti. That's a hell of a cast.
That's wild. You know, Stalin played for the Yankees.
No. Catcher lands June 22nd, by the way.
Wow.
So that'll be...
Oh, that sounds intriguing. I'd like to see Paul Rudd do some more dramatic stuff. Love him and all the stuff he's currently... You saw the Ant-Man trailer yesterday, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
A new one?
New one. Very cool.
So, Nick, it looks like this is a legit story.
Yeah, it's a 1994 biography when the first book came out. And so it's a true story about this guy. And it was written by Nicholas Davidoff.
Okay, interesting. All right, we're ready for the clips.
The highlight of the entertainment report.
Haley Arantia, who was recently a visitor of our show here, has enjoyed every moment of her 5 seasons with the Goldbergs. And here the actress and singer talks about her experience on the show.
I got very lucky to have been put on a show that's not only hilarious that I would watch and love if I wasn't on it, but one that's doing so well. And the writing's incredible. And I think that's why people really resonate with it. And it's so fun to work on it. And coming into work every day, it's like not really going to work.
Yeah! Tune in to ABC 8 p.m. tonight for a new episode of The Goldbergs. Here's your next clip. Code Black has only 4 episodes left this season, and fans are begging for more. In this clip, Rob Lowe, who plays as a hard-hitting military doctor, talks about leaving his comfort zone for this character.
It was fun for me to go from all the comedies I've been doing to such a hard-hitting medical drama. You know, I play an Army combat medic. I've been hanging from helicopters. I've been lowered onto submarines. I've been hanging from cranes. It's all so fun.
A new episode airs tonight, CBS, at 10 p.m. I have not seen that at all.
I saw it when it initially came on. It's a much more aggressive ER type of situation. It's based on a true hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Where they just, it's basically like a meat grinder.
Marcia Gay Harden.
Yes, we had her on
about that. I just didn't know Rob Lowe was on the show.
He joined the cast.
Okay.
He joined the cast as Dr. Rob Lowe.
It's on tonight, 10 p.m. on CBS. And there you go. That's what I have for you this morning in the Entertainment Report. We got $1,000 to give away with Birthday Bucks. That's coming up in less than an hour. Get yourself set for that. And we will have the bass player for the band Spinal Tap, Derek Smalls, on the program. Derek Smalls as Derek Smalls. So we'll talk to him. He's got a solo album out coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Be back in just a moment.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at presidentsteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
It rocked my ass off.
Hey, I need to, I want to do a shout out real quick. I got this email. Nick had passed it along to me. This is from a guy named Steve Anoia. A-N-O-I-A. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. But he had met up with Nick at an event a little while back, and he got in touch with Nick. He said, I was diagnosed with ALS on February 8th, a day after my 39th birthday. Broke the news to my employer. And when the head of HR emails you an invite to a meeting with her and your boss, I feared the worst. And the day came for the meeting, and I was not looking forward to it, to say the least. I was floored when they offered me a chance to continue to be employed in a job in our corporation, in our corporate office in Exton. The job wasn't handed to me as I still needed to interview and then had a 2-week trial period to ensure that I can still perform that job with my ailment. And last week they offered me the position full time in the web department so that I can do online chat and message with members of the credit union. He works for Citadel. And he said, a lot of the managers listen on their drive in as I do, and I would love if you would give a shout out to Citadel for giving me a chance to prove myself and still provide for my family.
Oh, that says a lot about the company.
Says from 7 a.m. to 7:45 a.m., most of them and myself will be driving to work. So if you could squeeze it in, then I would greatly appreciate it. I know eventually this terrible disease will take my life someday, but until then, thanks to this amazing company, I still have a sense of purpose and drive to kick some ass along the way. I used to drive 2 miles to work, and now I drive 45 minutes, and I get to hear more of the best morning show in the country. Thanks, Nick. Be well, man. And that is from Steve Anoia. So, Steve, here's that shout out for Citadel, and hang in there, brother. It's there's a lot of people that that have the same issue as you, and it's not easy. And
is that the age? It's usually in the age, right? The age range.
Yeah. You can find out in your 40s, 50s, even 60s. But yeah. It's usually later on in life that that diagnosis comes up. So that's sorry to hear that, man. But listen, there's great events like the ALS Society in Philadelphia, and they have wonderful fundraising events like the hot chocolate event at the aquarium. So there's a big support community for people who have ALS in their lives. A couple of things that I saw this morning I thought was worth mentioning, man. This was a bit of a shock. Gibson Guitars, Gibson Brand Incorporated, the maker of some of America's most famous electric and acoustic guitars, has filed for bankruptcy.
What?
Yeah.
What the f***? Yeah. That's, I always loved the Gibson logo.
Yeah.
And, it's a legendary guitar.
The Nashville-based company announced Tuesday that it is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and working on refocusing, reorganizing, and restructuring by shedding some of its side business and concentrating on its original mission of selling musical instruments.
Well, they're getting rid of the ukulele department then.
No, they're not. They'll hang on to the ukulele, of course.
What would their musical side instruments? Business?
They did some other things. They did what they call non-core brands. Like some audio and home entertainment businesses and stuff like that.
Diabetes medication.
Well, I don't know about that. But they just want to stick to the musical instruments.
Okay, because I'm wondering like how a name like Gibson, there are a few names that are synonymous with
yes,
Gibson is, Martin is another one. How they lost their way so much that they filed for bankruptcy.
I don't know.
Well, it says here in this story, Gibson is not only the only iconic musical brand affected by a dramatic fall in the sale of guitars. Overall, Fender is also in debt.
Fender,
while leading instrument retailer Guitar Center is barely surviving.
Oh, so wow. Fender is the Stratocaster, right?
Yeah, Fender Strat, absolutely.
So and Guitar Center
and a bunch of other ones.
I go there for all my recording stuff.
Yeah, man.
Is Sam Ash still around?
Sam Ash?
Yeah.
I believe so, but I don't know about in the area. I haven't been to a music
store. I've not seen one in this area.
In a while. There used to be one in King of Prussia, one in Cherry Hill.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? That's a I wonder what the deal is with that. Are fewer people buying instruments, buying string instruments?
Are they producing stuff more through the technological realm? Producing, using more with, you know, computers?
I mean, maybe. By the way, Casey, yeah, Sam Ash is still in King of Prussia and in Cherry Hill.
I would find it hard to believe that, you know, the internet is the, you know, the basis behind the demise of these stores, because musical instruments, it's especially guitar, it seems like one of those things where I need to try it, I need to play it first before I can actually, you know.
Yeah, it's true. People like to get the feel of it. Could they eliminate, Preston, some of their cost if they were to drop down like to three strings?
Maybe that would cut back a little bit. I don't really know.
I know it would not be as full an experience playing.
There'd be fewer tuning knobs that they'd have to put on the hardware. So.
You're shearing off some cost, and that might help.
That sucks, man. I always wanted to own. I have a couple of guitars that I bought, some cheapies that I had autographed and I have hanging on the wall. Guitars just look so cool.
They do.
It's the one thing I really wish I knew how to play. I've tried. It's really hard, man. I can't get a handle on it. Marissa?
Does this have anything to do with the generation before us, like collecting so many things and buying so many things, and now they're selling them on the secondary market?
You're saying about like pre-owned guitars might be the sale of those might be killing the brand new guitar market.
Yes, because so many people went out and bought so many, and now they don't need 10 guitars. So you're selling them, and then you're not going to
bought them, never learned, and they're practically new. So you're getting them for a cheaper price.
Kathy,
seriously,
as it turns out, we have three guitars in our house. Neither
you
of us, neither of us play guitar. My wife will get the bug. I want to learn guitar. Yeah. I want to learn electric guitar. And so they're there, and there's a couple of amps. We even have a keyboard.
My God. Seriously?
Oh, it's all there, all set up.
Oh yeah, dude. We have a keyboard. We have I've got guitars. We have a clarinet, a flute. We don't play any of these things. The only thing we play are drums, and
you
figure plenty of those.
You'll extort yourself to play it if you purchase the device.
I bought it.
This will get me to do it.
This will force me to learn how to do this.
Right. And then a while later, when you're folding shirts on the keyboard.
Oh, my God. My dad had bought a banjo.
Which is really hard.
I was probably in third or fourth grade or whatever. He took some lessons, and he played the same 8 bars over and over for months, and he just could not do it. And eventually, it just became a relic that hung around the house. The
I have a banjo.
You do?
Yes, my dad's banjo.
Really?
Yeah, and he never learned like finger picking. He would strum it all the time. It's just sitting in my closet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So
one of these, I'm like, well, it's only 4 strings. You know, maybe that would be easier.
But it's one of those things where you buy the thing, you have the intention, and then it just, it fizzles out. All right, let me go to Jody. Hi, Jody. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Jody?
Dude, I was born and raised in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is the home of Gibson guitars.
Really?
My mom was a neck sander.
So she worked for the company. Okay.
Oh, I thought that was some sort of pejorative term.
No.
I know. Yeah. I knew someone was going to go there.
Yeah.
My grandmother also played in a group, the Gibson Mandolin Club.
Okay.
And we have pictures. I still have pictures of her. She passed away at 97 in 2006.
Hey, Jody, does your mom have any collector's items from her time at the factory?
She doesn't. And my grandmother had hung on to her mandolin for so long. I got to see it. And one of these, my grandmother, like, literally let everyone who came to the door, like, in the house, like, just, that's who she was.
Yeah.
And this woman came to the door when she was in her 80s and asked for a drink of water. And she had her mandolin out and went to get him a drink of water, came back, and he and the mandolin were gone.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Wow.
And I went ahead and contacted the gentleman a while ago, used to be a historian for Gibson, worked at the company. I contacted him. I sent him pictures of my grandmother with her group and her mandolin. He said, right about now, the mandolin roughly is worth like about $5,000.
And oh, like, man. Oh.
And it wasn't
sucks.
Even the money.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the money.
Sentimental.
It was the hashish she had in it.
No.
Yeah, can you imagine? That might have been explained a lot.
No, but that's that sucks because Preston, you're like your drum kit, a drum kit that you do. You have any of your original drums?
I
Excuse me.
All right, that's okay. All right, thanks, Jody. We appreciate the call. I have... What do you mean original drums?
Like do you have any keepsake drums that you...
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I have my Tama Superstar kit that it was my first, like, grown-up drum set that I had, and that was... that's the one that toured around with the band. Toured.
Right.
I mean, you know, but went
when
from
you
bar
were touring,
to bar to bar.
Yeah.
Went from bar to bar to bar all over the place. We logged a lot of miles, but it was... I've held on to that for sentimentally. Hearing is damaged too much. I can't play acoustic drums anymore.
Where is it?
It's in a closet, unfortunately.
Okay, so you don't play it?
No, I can't. It's way too loud.
Oh, okay.
It would destroy me. But I had a 1964 Ludwig drum kit. That was my very first drum kit that my dad bought for me to see if I would take to it or not, and he bought it used. It was a junk, and I ended up selling those to a friend, which was stupid because it's a collector's item now. And
Ludwig,
I didn't
a legendary,
know it.
Right?
And it was so beautiful. It was this white pearl color, and I really, really, and I tried to buy it back from the guy. He never would sell it back to me. So
bastard,
unfortunately. But I was... As a musician, man, growing up, like, equipment was so important to me. I would hang up pictures of drums on my wall from Modern Drummer magazine. I'd rip the pages out and I'd hang them up all over my walls. I wouldn't spank it to them, Cass, as you were pantomiming just now. But I would hang them up all over the walls. And guitarists are the
same
way.
Same deal. Yeah, my brother was a guitar player, and exactly the same deal.
You know that scene in Wayne's World where the Strat is in the case,
yeah,
and you know, he's just dreaming about getting it. I mean, that's true. The equipment is... And it's similar to, like, golf as well. People, you know, are just all about the equipment. But I love musical instruments.
Well, yeah, and also everything that goes along with it. So you mentioned the magazines, but going into the stores was a communal experience, too. And so around here, there was a store called George's Music. I remember spending a lot of
time. Still there.
All right.
Well, the one in Springfield is.
All right, there's a few of them.
There was one near where I grew up as well. And it was just, you'd go in and hang out and learn about other instruments from your friends. And it's sort of like what it was going to Tower Records or some equivalent growing up, is that... That's how you would get immersed in this culture, and that has changed.
There were different subcultures within the guitar stores.
Absolutely.
There'd be the really snotty sort of, I'm doing this, but my band is about to break big.
Yeah.
And then there are people who legitimately enjoyed passing on the joy of music to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And this, as you talk about this, this pisses me off because... I wanted to play the drums in elementary school, Preston. I wanted to play the drums.
And they gave you the trombone.
Give me the goddamn trombone.
You didn't want to play the
trombone. I didn't want the trombone.
I know. They do that in school sometimes. Like,
well, it's not too late.
Sorry, we got
It's too late.
No, it's not.
We've got seven pieces of musical equipment in the house. No one touches.
Trade them in for a drum set.
I know.
I for just a brief second considered bailing on my radio career because I was offered a job at the drum shop that I basically lived there.
This was last month.
No, it wasn't. A place called Drum Headquarters in St. Louis, and I was just there all the time. I wanted to be around drums and other drummers and just to be immersed in that culture. And eventually I got, you know, I'm like, you know, I was getting out of the band and I started to get a real career, started to get into radio. And then they offered me a job at Drum Headquarters, and I was like... It was like the crossroads. I'm like, radio or music?
What am I going to do?
I know. I'd seriously thought about it. It'd be so cool to work there.
Mm-hmm.
But I...
You made the right decision.
I made the right choice.
You know what? Yeah. This is like It's a Wonderful Life kind of thing. We should do a movie about what your life would have been like in Drum World.
Is that store still there?
No, they closed a few years ago, unfortunately.
So that you'd be just in an empty lot.
Yeah. But maybe I would have met the right person.
Yes.
And would have gone on to become the rock star that I was destined to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Nye!
I've never been Kenny Knight.
What would have been your rock name?
Tommy Thompson.
They were in town last night.
They were in town last night. And Pierre played a rock block yesterday and played a clip of me playing with him.
So yeah, Brent was at the show, too.
Yeah. Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Shane once comment on why Gibson might be going out of business, or at least they're filing for bankruptcy. They're not going out of business. Hi, Shane. You're on the air. Good morning. What's up, Shane?
Yeah, dude, guys. What's going on?
Not much, buddy. What'd you want to tell us?
So aside from all their other ventures and buying up smaller companies and stuff like that, I think they bought Cakewalk or Sonar or something like that. They charge way too much for new instruments. Like, as opposed to a company like Schecter, for almost a Pro-Line guitar, you're talking $1,200.
Okay.
For Gibson, it's like $2,400.
Oh my God!
So that's what a new Gibson, like a mid level Gibson, goes for.
No, he said a Pro Line.
Oh, Pro Line. Okay. Yeah.
That year, I don't know, because they have a studio model, but even that's $1,200, and that's like an entry level guitar, and like I don't like the neck on the thing because it's like a baseball bat versus playing another like I said, either a standard or whatever. For instance, I bought a used Les Paul Axis. Now the only difference between that guitar and like a regular one is it's got a contoured heel, so you're the back of the neck isn't like this square joint where the neck comes into the body.
Kathy, is this all true?
What was that?
No, Kathy is verifying. She's nodding. Yeah.
She knows. Yeah. So that guitar new is $4,800. And there's nothing spectacular about that guitar.
So you
bought it used for $2,300.
You're saying that there are comparable guitars for far less, and that's what's killing the industry for Gibson.
And I mean, there's a lot of people that want to buy the Gibson brand, but again, it's way too much pay to play. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, people are willing to spend that money, especially like these bedroom musicians that just want a brand name. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, people can't spend that kind of money. You just can't afford it altogether.
I'd like to know...
Thanks, Shane. Appreciate it.
What kind of money actually goes into the crafting of a guitar, like a Martin. You know, like we have a... $1,000 guitar.
What the material costs, but then you got to talk about the craftsmanship when people are actually building it and their time, because that's what comes into play.
What do you pay them an hour and all that? Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Guitar Hero had anything to do with the decline in this, or is that come and gone?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I bet you, if anything, Guitar Hero probably caused more people to pick up the guitar.
Yep. Maybe an increase in sales.
It caused me to not do that.
I don't know. It's just another, iconic brand name that's in jeopardy.
I love the notion, though, of the place you like to go to. Like, I'll go to Worldwide Stereo and hang out and just talk with the guys.
Yeah.
So,
say
8K TV's coming out.
Right.
And it's kind of like you're in your element, You'd almost be like, if anyone heard me talking like this, they'd call me a jerk. But like in the music store,
When I go to Jackhead's Bakery, I'm like, hey.
They say, Claire, there's tiramisu. Do you hear what they're doing over in Europe?
New brownies came in today, guys.
Oh, my God. Can I open up the case? Oh, what kind of cocoa did they use?
I was like just a hanger arounder.
Of course.
For
you're
things
a musician.
Like, and that's what I would do. I could go and spend hours just, walking around the shop and talking to other drummers and talking to people that work there. And I'm sure there's other industries that are like that too, where people just come and they just kind of hang out.
Is there an equivalent like that for you, Kathy, besides Target, where you would just go
and hang out?
Just want to be around it. I'm thinking an adult store. What would float your boat?
You said other than Target, but like I could literally just like sometimes I will have nothing to do and I'm like, there's got to be something at Target. I'll go there. Yeah. I swear. I mean, I really will sometimes just go there. But
sure.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I don't really love anything.
I love nothing.
Hey, there are people that want to get into radio that might come out to events and
promotions
and stuff like that just to be around the workings of it and maybe by osmosis kind of,
I'm sure they're, that's what an internship is sort of that way,
that's kind of how he hired Gary Lauer.
Gary Lauer got hired and he was Weston's personal assistant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was with the way Preston was with a music source. That's how I was with West Coast Video. Me and my buddy Matt would hang out there.
You cleaned up for free, didn't you?
Oh my God. We would like when they would have stacks of movies, we're like, can we put them back? And they were like, yeah, guys.
Sure.
My son's like that at the comic shop that he goes to.
Sure. That happens a lot.
Perfect example.
Kids will just come and I'll do that,
Yeah. Just kind of linger about and eventually become friends with the people that work there.
Deadpool is, I think I can get into this conversation, fellas.
Yeah.
I like hanging out in the hardware store, believe it or not, but I'm intimidated by it because I don't know very much. But I feel like I'm at least around people who do.
Yes.
So if I go to a hardware store, especially like not the big box stores, but a local one or whatever.
Like a smaller.
There's a place called Do It Best in Wayne. And like you go into that place, they're so helpful and they tell you stuff that you don't know. I haven't learned how to do any of it yet, but I feel like
I could.
You can talk.
Yes.
Here's a text that says, my grandfather hangs out in Lowe's or Home Depot to talk and help strangers with home projects.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
That's cute.
That is. They should just hire him.
Yeah. Dude, listen, my cousin is a judge in the city of Philadelphia. On lunch breaks, he looks for tourists. His dream job is to be a historical tour guide.
Wow.
But he'll hang out by City Hall just looking for people to kind of, you know, be looking around with cameras. And
I know this woman who hangs out on the corners.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And she just wants to help you get pleasure.
She talks to tourists.
Yeah. She asks people if they want a boyfriend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Do you need a date?
That's so cute.
She's like, so
and
sweet.
It's not her thing. She just loves it.
Here you go. There's a couple more texts coming in concerning that. Oh, Nick, I lost him. Here, yeah, somebody says gun stores,
and
gun guys are people that do just like to hang around them. Garden centers,
oh yes,
just kind of lingering about the plants and talking to the people that work there.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
I wonder if the people that work there go, oh, here comes the chrysanthemum guy.
Probably,
I wouldn't go and hang out there, but I would spend a lot of time there. But I'm actually doing something.
We're talking like. Absorbing just, the culture,
yeah,
talking.
No.
Yeah, well, you're not good at idle time either, Kathy. Yeah. Like, you need to be moving and having stuff to do.
I got
to
get it finished and get out.
What I like to do is kind of hang out here, and Steve likes to talk about, like, Pro Flowers all the time.
And
he goes on and
all the time.
All the time. Pro Flowers, Vermont Teddy Bear, used to go on and on about.
Record stores are another one. Mm. When they were around, that was an easy place to go and just hang out and browse and talk music with people.
Yeah, perfect place.
As a worker, that's got to annoy you, though, right?
I used to work at the Wall. And there were people that would hang out all of the time, but we were told that we had to kind of watch them because we thought they were stealing.
Right.
At the Wall?
Yeah,
the record place.
But maybe, Case, sometimes, yes, it could be annoying, and other times it could be, you know, they might enjoy that.
I guess.
Having somebody to talk to.
Really depends on who it is that walks through the door.
Yeah.
Because if you walk through, hey, Preston's here, and then another guy walks through, he's like, oh, my God, I'm going in the back. I'm taking my lunch break, you know?
Or Steve.
I hear Gibson's having trouble.
I don't know if I've ever bought anything at Spencer's, but anytime I was at the Mall, I would hang out there for, you know, at least a half hour.
But you're just going through the stuff. You're not talking shop. Oh man, are these the new? Are these the new glow in the dark dildos?
Yeah, you're
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, you're kind of browsing as opposed to just wanting to be around.
Oh, I could kill time in Spencer's, no problem. That was as a kid, especially. When you got the balls to go into the back and look at the Samantha Fox posters.
Always got the balls for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of balls, a couple of people have mentioned bowling alleys.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I could see that if you're a bowling nut.
Just hanging around.
Just God, I hate joined bowling a league. Alleys.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I swear.
It's because everybody wears the same shoes.
No.
I thought you'd be a bowling alley person.
They're like dark and dingy and they stink.
Oh, you got to come to mind.
Wear someone else's shoes. Balls are heavy.
Yeah. Just like heavy balls.
Dear God. Hang on. Let me go to John, runs a pawn shop. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, so the shop's kind of turned into the whole community kind of just spending time in the store.
Okay.
But every day there's different things. And, I mean, we've had random customers spend full shifts just spending a day and then an hour past spending time just as we're cleaning up and just the talk, the conversations. It's just turned into a cool place to hang out.
Yeah, the pawn shop wouldn't impress me as a cool place to hang out, but... I mean, to me, there's always sort of a little air of sadness about it.
So a couple of people are noting that, mechanic shops or places for buying car equipment and parts.
Pep Boys
is somewhere that you can just not necessarily
AutoZone.
That. No. Yeah, more like an AutoZone or something like that, where you can talk to other mechanics and talk cars, do that whole deal. Let me go to John here. Hey, John. Good morning.
Yo, how's it going, man?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Nothing. I owned a gun shop for 21 years up in Green Lane.
Yeah.
And I had like a whole crew of dudes that would come in every day. It was almost like shift work. They'd come in, they'd park themselves down on the seat, they'd hang out, they'd talk, they'd order their lunch in there. I mean, it was just painful. And some of these guys were really good customers, and they were good to have around. But a lot of these dudes were just like, I was their place to escape life. but I'm trying to make a living in there.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. So, and they're sort of they're non-employed employees in a manner, right?
Exactly. These dudes would stand around and try to espouse their knowledge to guys that I'm trying to sell stuff to, and it was usually bad information.
Did you ever, John? Did you ever try to put them to work just to have them do something?
Yeah, these guys sometimes would volunteer. Like, I had a dude that lost an eye one day on the job, and he's a good guy. And he came over for while he was recouping and cleaned up my store because it was pretty messy in there. It was like an old-school gun shop, creaky floors, leaky roof, all that cool stuff. And he would come in, and he would clean up the shop and just push a broom around and straighten things up. So, I mean, it had its benefits. But I'll tell you what, man, I learned more about people's lives than I ever wanted to know.
At a certain point, you're all talked out. I hit that limit pretty quickly. So, but if you have someone sitting there for 6 or 7 hours on a stool and they're ordering their lunch in there as if they're employed.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. They would. They would order their food and park their asses in there and eat while trying to work. Oh, it was painful. But it was a good career, and I really loved it.
Yeah.
And, you know, my guys were all safe. I never had issues there. And they were all good, responsible gun owners. But, man, they could just be absolute agony sometimes.
I can imagine. Especially when you're...
I've seen the weirdest stuff. Like, there was a guy actually urinated in the shop. He pissed himself. Another guy actually... He released on the back end. I mean, I've seen the worst.
Oh, boy.
What?
He released on the back end?
Back end of what? Yeah.
He crapped his pants.
Had a shart.
Oh,
man. Well, good times. Well, thanks for hanging out, guys.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, dude, I've seen it all. Absolutely all.
All right.
Wow,
thanks,
that's
John.
A gun shop.
Appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. Let me go to, I'm going to go to Teresa. Hello there, Teresa. Hi, Teresa, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was lost in your bangs.
Oh, God.
That's a callback.
Well done, Teresa.
Yes, yeah.
Well done. What's up?
So I went to high school at North Penn, and basically every Friday, my friends and I would go over to the GameStop across the street, and we'd hang out and just play Guitar Hero for hours.
At the GameStop.
Yep.
Yes.
And so you were socializing. Would you talk with the people in the place? Would you, like, talk?
We actually had a joke with them that if we played Eye of the Tiger one more goddamn time, they would take us out.
Do you know it's a like GameStop's place like that? Thanks. But it's a similar vibe, Casey, and you used to go like cigar shops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a bunch of texts coming in about cigar shops.
That's a lifestyle.
It is. And a lot of cigar shops will actually have a lounge.
But you're actually buying product there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they encourage you to, like, so the place I go to the Wooden Indian. They got a lounge. You buy your stuff, and then you go sit on a couch, and you hide from your family for a couple of hours.
You know what? And I think that was the same thing about the gun shop, Steve.
I think
some guys who just, they want to get away from their wife and family.
But maybe they're retired or whatever, or whatever the story is. But, yeah, they sort of tacitly become quasi-employees.
Yeah. Let me go next to Dave G on the line. Yo, Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
You're talking about hanging around. I have always loved cars. I mean, just loved everything about them. It's what I do for a living. When I got old enough, I started hanging around the local dirt track, which was Grandview Speedway, and just hung around there enough that people started to notice me, and I started meeting people, and then one night I got asked if I wanted to help out with something.
There you go.
And then that led to more, and that led to more, and then I got a job with a company that sponsored a NASCAR a Winston Cup team.
Wow.
And this was in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
I went to my first NASCAR race, and I knew all these people.
Oh, really?
I got invited into the pits, and I eventually wound up on the team.
That's very cool, man. So you followed your level of fanaticism to a career.
A temporary, short-lived career, but okay.
That's interesting. All right, thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, if you go... And you just sometimes, if you just hang out somewhere all the time, they'll eventually give you something to do.
That was me.
Why not? Just to stop you from talking.
That was me in radio. I swear to God, like I was just kind of hanging out, working for free.
Yeah.
And then the Saturday Night Over guy quit on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And McGuinn was like, "Hey, do you want to work on Saturday night?" I'm like, "Yeah, yes, I do."
Zero experience.
Zero. I hadn't even done an air check tape. It wasn't until months later where Jim
was
like,
"Crazy."
Well, he goes, hey, I'd like to sit down and do an air check with you. I said, okay, well, I don't have a tape. He goes, wait a second, we put you on the air without doing an air check tape? I'm like, yeah, you did. You can't look back now.
Hey, Steve, what about comedy clubs?
Comedy clubs were definitely, yeah, absolutely. Go and just hang, and it's one of those things where you almost like, I should probably go over and hang out, you know, because...
And you do learn, right?
I mean, you do learn, and even though, like, in the afternoon, comedians would go and you would broker deals for, you know, hey, I'm doing this, a couple of clubs in Washington. Are you around? So you could actually schedule. So that was actually a productive thing, but also just the culture and the whole... You're with your kind.
And I think about people like Pat House and Jake Matera, and people who are becoming successful comedians, and they just love spending time
at
comedy clubs.
And that's another thing. So you hang out and you do it long enough, and then, you know, what ends up happening is other more seasoned comedians go, oh, I like this guy or girl.
And he's
whoever,
actually kind of funny.
And he's actually kind of funny, and I need an opener, you know? So Pat, you know, in particular, he's been touring with Dan Cummins, which is like...
Yeah, it's a good step up,
awesome,
man.
Yeah.
People texting in that saying a vape shop.
Vape shop, yes.
Is another one of those types of places that you can just go in and hang out, and you never know, they might end up hiring you.
There was a place where, I forget what it was, but I remember going, it wasn't a vape shop or anything like that, but it might have been like a game store or something. But I remember there was a guy who was always sitting on the other side, on the customer side of the counter, but I thought he worked there for years. And I mean, he was there every time I went in. And then I later found out he would come in with his own stool. He brought his own stool in to sit and talk. I'm thinking it's like a game, not a GameStop, but a game store.
The real Philly Deli tour, the very, very, very first one that I did, the guy was just bring his own chair and sit in the parking lot. Murph, you remember that guy? I hugged him for a long time.
Here's a text that says, speaking of George's music, I was hired there after continuously impressing the store manager with my ability to persuade other customers into making major purchases. So he was just there and he talked to people and say, oh, you know, you should try this brand or whatever. Or I've had success with this. And eventually they ended up hiring him for it. Dave wants to point something out. Hi, Dave, you're on the air, sir. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
So, sorry to bother you at work.
Like, it's okay.
But so one thing, I think Casey maybe hit on this earlier, but you seem to be missing that this is totally a guy thing.
It's
totally a guy thing. It's all about, you know, it's like back to the primitive hunter. It's all about the tools.
It seems like it would be more of a dude
kind
of thing to do, but I, not that there aren't women who do this type
who
of thing.
Who hang out at
right.
Victoria's Secret.
Right.
Yeah. How about these straps? They feel good.
Yeah. One other place is a hobby shop or model railroad.
Yes. All right, so there's a place in the Plymouth Meeting Mall that they have slot car races. They have these huge tracks.
Yeah.
And they're awesome, but there's always a couple of dudes hanging by the cash register talking to the guy.
Is that upstairs?
Thanks,
it's upstairs. Yeah. If you go past so it looks like it's like a model store in the front.
Yeah.
Go into the back. There's these super long tracks.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? A couple of callers ago, that guy who got hired as a result of, he would help the customers.
Yeah.
That's actually not a bad idea to hire somebody to be an quote unquote undercover customer.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you be more inclined to listen to somebody who you don't think has a horse in the race?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think also, if you hang around certain places, if you hang around a hospital, how long before you're performing surgery?
Stethoscope around your neck?
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
Right. Gynecologist? Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Hey, by the way, Marissa jotted down a couple of businesses that this definitely falls in line with. Skate shops.
And bike shops. I remember hanging out at Folsom Cycle forever.
Yes. And you remember, I think Bam used to just go and kind of hang out at Fairman's and, you know, being around all that.
Yeah.
Of course, he had the natural ability to be a great skater, and that's what propelled his career. But, you know, he was one of those guys hanging out at the shop. Breweries, Marissa says, as well. There are a lot of people who want to get into that line and who are home brewers. And if you go to these microbreweries and just kind of hang out and talk shop with the other brewers, it might lead to a gig. And distilleries, a similar type of thing.
Well, there you go.
As well. There I go.
Maybe the drums didn't pan out, but you could be a successful distiller.
Yeah. Yeah, pet stores is another one. A lot of people are texting in. These are there are people that go and hang out at pet stores. Sure, absolutely.
Pet people, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You can hang around. You know, they have a lot of places have groomers in there as well. And
you can lick the cats.
Somewhat learn that business. Yes, Nick?
A few people have texted in Cabela's, and somebody said that the average hang time in a place like Cabela's is 2 or 3 hours.
No,
people
really?
Just go in and wander.
Sure. Yeah. Listen, I've done it. When we went to Cabela's, we went there a couple of times. It's enough of a drive where you're like, and there's enough stuff there.
Yeah.
You can hang out for hours.
Let's go fishing.
Yeah. So interesting. But we all got started on this because Gibson is filing for bankruptcy, and I got started talking about hanging out at the music shop all day long.
The drumming career that could have been.
And eventually they just said, you want to work here? Which I didn't because I had already begun a radio career. So anyhow, listen, it is 7:55, which means we are about to go live on Fox Good Day. We've got a few seconds away from doing that. And then we're going to have to probably hang on a little bit longer because we got birthday bucks, which we have to hit at 8 o'clock.
Oh, man.
So we're going to just kind of keep on chatting for a little bit. But it's for a good thing. It's for you, possibly winning $1,000 in cash. So we'll give you the special word, the special text number. That'll be as close to 8 o'clock as we can get it. And then you just sit back and wait, and you might win yourself $1,000 with MMR's birthday bucks. Another one of the things that we're doing to help celebrate our 50 years in existence. So
amazing.
We have several times for you to do that today. The music means we're going live on Fox. Good day. So here we go.
What exactly does that mean, Preston and Steve, walking on sunshine? That's my first question.
What's that now?
What does walking on sunshine exactly mean?
Happy, deliriously happy, and on drugs.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, more on Conway in a sec. Kanye. listen to this. I've never asked you guys this, and this might be a little uncomfortable. Mm. Were either one of you in a relationship when you met your spouse-to-be?
I was not.
No.
Okay.
I was dating a couple of people. I was dating two or three, and everybody knew about everybody else going on casual dates.
Yes.
I called it the Pepsi Challenge of Love because I wanted to see what I liked about, and, you know, I would go from one relationship to another and forget things that I didn't like in a relationship. So I figured a side-by-side comparison. Then I met the woman who is now my wife, and I said, bingo. That's it. She's the one.
Was she in a relationship?
She was in the relationship with the Knicks. No, she was not. she was not. She was not. She was casually dating as well. Yeah.
And Preston?
Yeah, I was playing the field at the time, and my wife was totally single. In fact, when I first met her, she lied to me and said she had a boyfriend.
What?
I know. She wanted nothing. She wanted nothing to do with me. Nothing.
Oh. So how did you bring
who
that
was
out?
That? Who laughed in the background?
So Alex asked how you broke her down and got her.
It took 2 years, believe it or not. I was
you were friend zoned.
Well, we didn't see each other that often, but yeah, totally friend zoned.
Restraining orders,
big time. And I eventually saw her at a bar one night where I was working, and I'm just like, I threw a line at her and I got her number, and it took off from there.
And how
this is a big deal. You should write a manual. So many men complain about being in the friend zone. You got out. This could be a big thing.
We were talking about this yesterday, and then the whole friend zone thing off that Let's Make a Deal video. It's tough to broker that. When you're consigned to that zone, it's hard to get out. Preston, though, not only that, you started dating her and then convinced her to move halfway across the country.
I did do that after about 2 months of dating.
2 months?
Yeah.
And she did it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then abandoned her.
Yeah, no.
The reason I bring all this up is there's a survey that said they call it mate poaching. If you steal somebody away, that there may be lack of trust that it could happen again, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. I could see that since you have that ability to do that might be a concern in the back of your mind.
Yeah. Seems like Kathy probably always had a man, you know, because many men
desire Kathy. Right.
Many men. Room to talk, sir.
Look at how many men you've been with.
Oh well.
All of them great guys.
No, Kathy, you've
Well, she's an attractive girl, first of all, and therefore has many opportunities to be with many, many men.
Constantly to the point of a rash, actually. Yeah.
Come on.
But were you always, Kathy, did you always have a boyfriend?
You know what? I didn't start dating till later in college. So I had the same boyfriend all throughout college and then same boyfriend after. So
Boyfriend, professor.
God, I hate these men.
Steve, he's on a roll there.
You know, my dad says, though, you don't want someone no one else wants.
That's true.
Yeah, that's maybe there's a diamond in the rough that it takes takes someone like you, Alex, to just polish to perfection.
Mm.
That's too much work. I don't know about projects.
Forget that crap. Yeah.
The days of polishing are over.
Wow. Poaching, that's interesting.
Total poaching.
Now you know.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We will see you later. Hey, it's 8 o'clock. We got to do this thing.
Wait.
As soon as Casey gives me... I know, we normally don't do it.
It's in the following break.
Right out of the Fox thing. So let us fire up our birthday bucks and have your opportunity to win $1,000. It happens right now.
MMR's birthday bucks. Birthday bucks.
All right, WMMR Philadelphia and our friends at A&T Chevy in Sellersville have your opportunity to win a grand with MMR's birthday bucks. The word is lazy, L-A-Z-Y, and you text that to this number, 40772. You will have 15 minutes past the hour to do that very thing. We are going to grab a texter at random and give them $1,000. Once again, the word is lazy. And the key word or the key number that you need to text it into is 40772. Lazy, 40772. Do it right now. We'll take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Beat file coming up next.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram present MMR's Mudder's Day 2018. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 12th. $15 per vehicle gets you in. And a go at one of the custom dirt obstacle courses. Hundreds of Jeeps, Jeep parts to win, MMRBQ tickets, food trucks, and did we mention mud?
Join us for a great day. We'll get dirty with our Jeeps. We'll have cool prizes and vendors on site too, like DHY Motorsports, ExtremeTerrain.com, and more.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Somebody texted in and said they saw us on Fox 29 and thought I had a uterus on my shirt.
Let me see.
I do get that from time to time.
Oh,
do you know where that's from, Kathy?
It's fallopian tubes.
It is fallopian tubes.
Yeah. Isn't it? No, it's the sigil of House Greyjoy from Lord of the Rings. It's a kraken, but it's essentially like a giant squid, but it's got these really big tentacles that come out and form what looks like a female vagina and uterus.
Yeah, it's a very Georgia O'Keeffe looking. Yeah.
What do you think about House Greyjoy?
Is this something I'm going to encounter in...
Yeah, but it's not a spoiler.
You said Lord of the Rings.
They're a bunch of douchebags.
They kind of are, right? Yeah. And they don't really wield a lot of
power. It's
Game
of Thrones you're talking about, though,
right? It is Game of Thrones. And they live by the ocean, Steve, and that's hence the squid and fallopian tubes on Preston's shirt. But they're all
gynecologists.
They're all gynecologists,
They're the ones that provide the pap smears for the... What is the name of the area they live in?
Westeros. Yes, exactly. They handle all pap smears and pelvic
exams. What they do. Necessary for sure.
So anyhow, that's just wanted to clear that up. That's what that is. Hey, we got to do the bizarre file. It's already 7:45.
Come on.
So let's get to this thing.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by the LLS Big Climb Philly. Join Nick and Team Luke on May 19th during the LLS Big Climb Philly. You can climb 46 floors to the top of FMC Tower to support the fight against blood cancer. Visit bigclimbphilly.org/Team Luke. Police are investigating after the body of a man was discovered inside a wall in a public washroom at a mall in downtown Calgary.
So the guy was sealed up during construction, do they believe?
They don't think that. They have an interesting take on this. The discovery was made in the fourth floor washroom at the Core Shopping Center. A maintenance worker was called in the morning to fix a toilet that wouldn't flush in the woman's washroom. There's a panel behind it so that when people move, it will automatically flush. When they removed that panel, they found a deceased person behind that wall.
Wow.
The Calgary Fire Department helped remove the body, and the medical examiner was called to the scene. Police said there was nothing to immediately indicate whether the death was suspicious or not.
So they believe it was suicide, where the person killed themselves and then walled themselves up?
Maybe. No, they said despite...
First, I'm going to kill myself, and then I'm going to hide my body.
Despite the circumstances of where the body was located, investigators do not suspect foul play.
How could that be?
The death remains classified as undetermined, police said. They said it is possible that someone crawling through a vent or duct fell from above and got stuck in the wall.
Wow. Or was the suction so hard on the flush?
Maybe.
That he got sucked up into the wall.
It drew them in.
A lot of people are afraid of that, you know, especially in the airplane toilet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. This is pretty fun. Police in Massachusetts have arrested a suspect after he left behind the scene of a crime Play-Doh that contained his fingerprints.
So he left his own fingerprints in Play-Doh.
Yes, he did.
What was he playing with Play-Doh for?
Well, here's what happened. He was wanted in at least two other states and is currently residing at the Worcester County House of Correction. The suspect, accused of shoplifting, used the Play-Doh to thwart an anti-theft device commonly used by retail stores to safeguard electronics.
So he covered the transmitter in Play-Doh.
He plugged something up that was part of the theft prevention.
Oh.
And in pushing it in with his thumb, he left a complete clear thumbprint.
That's
in the
wild.
Play-Doh. There's a close-up shot of the Play-Doh. Look at that.
So...
Thank you, idiot.
Yep, exactly.
Could you walk by a pile of Play-Doh and not
I would have a hard time not at least squeezing it or smelling it, because I love the way Play-Doh smells, too.
You can actually eat it, too, right?
Yes, you can. It doesn't taste good, but...
Wait, you can actually eat Play-Doh?
Sure. Yeah.
Why?
Because the ingredients that it's made out of are not toxic.
Really.
Yeah, you can use loose leaf reinforcements as Jimmy's.
What flavor do you think green is?
No, I hate Play-Doh. I hate the smell of it.
They all have the same flavor.
I know.
The LPD has filed charges against the suspect, Dennis Jackson, who is expected to be arraigned in the near future. It's unclear whether he has retained an attorney or not.
Well, we're glad he's stupid.
Authorities say an Arkansas man who was being investigated after alleging that he tracks Bigfoot for the U.S. government has been arrested on a child porn charge. 46-year-old Keith Barnes was arrested last week after authorities say they found evidence for a charge of possessing or viewing matter depicting sexually explicit conduct involving a child.
Apparently there's a big child pornography problem with the people our government pays to hunt down Bigfoot.
They're just starting to find
that out. Just finding it out that the kind of person drawn to that enjoys kiddie porn.
The sheriff's office says it received an anonymous tip that Barnes possessed child pornography during an impersonation investigation. The investigation began after people reported seeing Barnes wearing a uniform with a badge and stating that he was a cryptozoologist with the Department of Interior that tracks Bigfoot.
Okay. There we go.
The department says Barnes doesn't work there and the job title doesn't exist.
Well, the giveaway, too, is that he had a slingshot in his holster.
Okay. Well, he is headed to court on June 18th.
This makes me rethink Harry and the Hendersons.
An unusual moment in Houston traffic is going viral after a man challenged another driver to a game of rock, paper, scissors for the right of way. This is a great story. Marco Sanchez posted a video on Facebook showing him challenging another driver to the game to see who would get to go first in the lane amid extremely slow rush hour traffic last week. So they were at a merge point, and it was just almost a deadlock, just inching along. And so he
that's great.
Signals over to the guy. Sanchez wrote, "Stuck in Houston traffic like always, and this guy wanted to get in front of me, and I was not going to have it today." Without challenging him on a game of rock, paper, scissors. So the video shows Sanchez being bested in the game and allowing the other driver to merge in.
Well, awesome. There you go. Cooler heads prevail.
Yeah.
How is your rock, paper, scissors game?
It's whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
I always lose.
What?
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you're allowed to choose between the three.
I know, but I make the wrong choice. But isn't paper always kind of the paper covers rock, right?
It's all
scissors
equal.
Covers paper, man.
Yeah.
I just ball up my fist and punch the person.
So he lauded the other driver for going along with his game. He said Houston traffic makes people even more angry after a long day of work. But that was a cool little
moment
that they had there. All right, one more story and then we will wrap it up. Okay, a man who was halfway through serving a 4-day sentence for driving under the influence escaped the North County Detention Facility in Sonoma County on Friday night and was captured 38 minutes later.
I gotta get out of here.
And listen what he did. Mark Schwartz scaled a fence capped with razor wire coils at the detention center. He had been there. He was only there for 4 days.
I can't spend another 32 hours here.
Schwartz untangled himself from the razor wire, jumped a wooden fence, and ran towards Sky Lane Boulevard.
I'm free!
The detention facility was locked down, and an inmate count determined that Schwartz was the escapee.
I've got to go find my wife. I hope she's still around.
An alert citizen reported a man running through tall grass in a nearby field, and the searchers established a perimeter. Steve, maybe he was afraid she wouldn't be faithful. Perfect, while he was gone.
My kids are all grown up.
I'm sorry. How much time was he supposed to
four
serve?
Days.
4 days.
He was only supposed to serve 4 days.
He broke out halfway through.
Okay.
Yeah. So deputies.
I got to get home.
More than 20 deputies joined the search for Schwartz. Deputies found him in a creek, and a bloody jail-issued shirt was found nearby. He was treated for his injuries and taken to a hospital for treatment for the razor wire wounds.
Ain't no jail gonna hold me, screw.
Now he was booked into the main, more secure Sonoma County Jail on suspicion of felony escaping.
So what does he receive for that?
Yeah. He's gonna get a happy
much more
one.
Substantial.
Absolutely, it's a felony.
Dummy.
And that is what you have in the bizarre file this morning, my friends. We are going to take a quick break, and you know what I'd like to do? I would like to thank you for listening. I would like to thank you by giving you caller number 25 a pair of tickets to hang on our in our stage right suite at the MM Barbecue.
Whoa!
Not the MM Barbecue.
Whoa!
The 50th birthday concert with Bon Jovi.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's tomorrow, by the way. Thank you. Wells Fargo Center will provide, it's going to be like a birthday party, like a pizza party.
Pizza party.
So we're going to have pizza, we're going to have soda, and the 360 production provides a unique and close-up view from our suite.
I'll be there. I'm going to be there hanging in the suite just to say hi to people. Okay. I'll be dressed like Bon Jovi from the Slippery When Wet album.
Very good. It's a good look.
It's a good look for me.
A few tickets that remain at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com can be snagged, so make sure you get those. But 215-263-WMMR. I think I said caller 15, right? Is that what I said? Caller 15?
Yes.
I said 25.
Said
not caller 15, caller 25. Yes. I'm glad somebody keeps track of that.
We don't, which is stupid.
Call, and I'm the one who said it.
Number.
Call now, and you might end up in that suite. Good luck to you. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
We are going to have on the program Harry Shearer, the great Harry Shearer. Only it's not going to be Harry Shearer. It's going to be a character that he plays, Derek Smalls, gang from Spinal Tap.
Doesn't he sort of feel like a real guy the
he
way
does.
Homer Simpson feels like a real guy?
He absolutely does.
Because they've been a part, the Spinal Tap characters, of our lives for so long. And yeah. He has some of the most prominent getting caught in the cocoon. The Reynolds wrapped cucumber going through airport security.
I love that scene. So we will have him on the program about 9:15, and Derek Smalls has his debut solo album called Smalls Change, Mediations upon Aging is what it's called. So we're going to talk to him in a little bit, and it will be just Derek Smalls.
Yes.
No Harry Shearer whatsoever.
That's it.
So it should be pretty cool. Hey, can I share, speaking of pretty cool, something that I get to do today? And
yes.
I know.
Let me hold it.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Privilege.
Yeah.
Privilege. Okay, we're good to go.
Our friends at Pocono Raceway have extended an invitation for a pretty unique experience. And today, when we're done with the show, I'm driving up to Pocono, headed up to the Tricky Triangle, and I'm going to get to do a ride-along in a car with Jimmy Johnson.
Wow. Like, yeah. And we were talking earlier off air. He's at the top of the sport.
He is the potential to possibly be the greatest driver ever as far as winning the Monster Energy Cup Series, which used to be the Winston Cup.
Yeah.
You've all heard of the Winston Cup. Even if you don't follow NASCAR. I don't follow NASCAR. I'm aware of the superstars' names. I know his name and that he's a great driver.
Yep.
But he and only two other guys, or he's tied with Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt, 7 championships, including 2 Daytona victories.
How much money earned? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's millions upon millions. But I get to ride with this guy today, sitting shotgun with him.
So what speed is he going to get up to?
I don't know. I mean, it's Pocono, so it's a big track. It's like a 2 mile track. It's a super speedway. So that's where you can really open it up.
You drove it. Yeah. I chose to go when we went up and we did the sort of the race experience a while ago. I chose to go with a driver because I wanted him to get up, you know, go super fast. And I wouldn't have been comfortable driving.
Yeah.
Someone else's car at 150 or 160, whatever you were allowed to drive, he was tearing down the track, and it was wild.
Yeah, so when I did my stock car experience at Pocono, they said, and there's no speedometer in there, so you don't know, but they can check it up by telling what RPMs you got up to on the tachometer, roughly about how fast you went, because they're not timing people who are out there doing it. So they said I went between 150 and 160 miles an hour. I would hope that we'll get up over 180.
Yes.
This is dangerous.
And close to 200.
This is what they do.
But this is the best. He's the best. He's the best.
Are you going to wear a seatbelt?
That is just dangerous.
Let me ask you something. Do you have some money in case you get trapped? Do you have the numbers of people to call?
Some extra underwear?
Do you have AAA?
Yeah.
No. Kathy, to put it into perspective, when I did the ride along with the guy, we hit some sort of large bird that I'm assuming was a seagull.
Seriously?
Yeah. That thing turned.
Did you almost die?
No, the bird detonated. I mean, at that speed. But by the way, I would say to the bird or the bird's family, it could have flown higher.
Yeah.
And avoided
Why
did it have to be flying at about 4.5 feet off the track?
Seriously.
Steve, to answer your question earlier, he is the third richest NASCAR driver in history.
Around 120 million, I think it said. Yeah.
Wow. So maybe like a little mishap wouldn't be bad.
Right. Yeah, a little bit. So I could sue him, you're saying?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. My neck. But they wedge you in so tightly there.
Yeah.
You know, ever since some rather catastrophic accidents. Preston, you have the shoulder harness and your head is locked forward.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know.
Yeah, you can't
move. You can't hang out the window and go, woo!
Yeah. But it's wild. And listen, Casey was telling me a lot of people hate him because he's so great. And that's the way NASCAR is.
Yes.
Even some of the greats, people just, they fixate on him and they hate him.
It's a sport where you can have villains.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, but I knew the guy was a superstar, but was unaware of the level of his absolute top of the sport ness goes.
You know all the proper lingo. You're top of the sportness, aren't you?
Talk about that.
I really.
When you're in the car. Why do you get to do this?
I don't know. Why am I getting to do this?
It's just a cool opportunity.
It's like a media flight with Blue Angels or something
like
that.
Which is also dangerous.
It's just, and I did that, and it was fine.
Are you going to be the only one on the track, do you know?
I don't think so. I would imagine some other people are there. I was pulling up some videos last night of him taking people for ride-alongs, and they do it for charities or sometimes you can pay for these services and things like that, and he'll do it. But he seems like a really nice guy. He was on Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert and Ellen DeGeneres. He's the dude.
I just wonder, what would be, you know, for me, the coolest sports experience, you know, like, would it be having a catch with Carson Wentz or Mike Schmidt or, you know what I mean?
Being football related, I think it's clearly at the top of your. So, yes, I think doing a couple of runs with Carson Wentz as your quarterback.
Like playing 2-bounce 21 against or with LeBron, playing around the golf.
Something to your speed, right?
Yeah,
around a golf with somebody way up there, a Phil Mickelson or a Jordan Spieth or, you know, any of those guys, top of the list would be amazing, right? And you could do it.
You can do it. Yeah.
You can't strap on the uniform and run drills.
You know
NFL
what?
Drills.
Would be really cool for you, Preston, to be able to drive a NASCAR over the course of the Masters.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes.
Just turf it up.
Yep.
When we were at Clearwater, at one point, Larry Boa walked out onto the field with a baseball and a glove, and there was nobody to have a catch with. And you just saw him. He was throwing the ball up and catching it. And Jason Burton, and Jason goes, man, it looks like he wants to have a catch with somebody. And I was like, it does. It really does. I'm gonna walk down to the front of the
There's
stand.
No one to play catch with.
And
if only
I did.
There was a little fellow could come out and help me.
And I did. I walked down there in hopes that he would see me with my glove on and toss me the ball.
And then you watched Preston have a catch with Gabe Kapler.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, which was pretty amazing. Yeah.
You've been racking up some good
I need to stop it.
All right. Not until we do this.
Privileged, privileged.
I feel a little guilty about it, actually.
It was given. You didn't ask for it. It was given to you, and that makes it even more frustrating.
So,
privilege. Wait, when did we have Jimmy Johnson on our show?
We didn't.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
No, we did, because I had forgotten to
4 or 5 years ago.
Put it in the calendar. And he called in. It was right around the drive for autism.
It was a phone call.
So make sure you fondly recollect that conversation.
No, I remember him being really easy to talk to because I'm not a big NASCAR guy either. And I don't know very much about the sport at all. But he made it not about him. He made it not about the sport. And I think that's the best way to have conversations with these guys is you don't want to talk to Jimmy Johnson about Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
No.
You want to talk to him about Rush or something like that.
Yeah.
That's
or LeBron.
Or LeBron.
Yeah.
Or a catch that Casey made.
Hey, one of the nicest guys we ever had by here was Helio Castroneves.
He was awesome.
Yes.
He couldn't have been a more friendly guy. And that dude won Indy.
Yeah.
So
he wouldn't give me his watch though.
It's kind of a keepsake. Can I have your Super Bowl ring?
So I get to do that today. So I will hopefully have some video to share and some stories to tell tomorrow, which would be very cool.
I have to imagine that they have some sort of a GoPro rig in the car. If not, what you do? You can have Nick Murphy sit in that luxurious back seat that doesn't exist.
Right, exactly. Yeah, those things. If you've never been in one of those cars, they are bare bones. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. There's nothing luxurious about it at all.
Well, most of them don't have passenger seats.
No,
right?
Yeah. No, but they do have DVD players for the kids.
Barely enough room in the trunk to put like a chair or anything like that.
No, they don't even
have real headlights.
It's a shell on top of basically a roll cage with a gigantic engine.
Your brain has the shell on it.
And it has that, too.
Have you ever been down to, like, hot rod races, like dragsters?
I have never been to Top Fuel before, and I know it's insanely loud.
So I was watching the Brian Gumbel, what is it, Real Sports or whatever, on HBO?
Yeah.
And they had the guy who all his daughters raced. Did you see that segment?
I did not, no.
So they're down, and what you basically are doing... And Dwayne Wimmer, my trainer, he was raised doing this stuff. You basically sit on a rocket pointed down a track.
Yeah, Steve, I went to the one in Millville and watched. It was an MMR event. This was a few years back, and it is insanely loud, but it is incredibly impressive because they are able to control for a short amount of time the direction of those cars.
Well,
I got to do is go forward, which sounds easy, but it's not.
Their training is like this, Preston. Like, they're just slight.
Yeah, little movements.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they go insanely fast.
So the new electric...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Dragsters...
Yeah.
...are taking it to almost unimaginable levels where it exceeds the ability of human response times.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to put a parachute on the end of the car.
Yeah. That's always a sign they think you're going to go fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Batmobile had a parachute.
Yeah. So I'll share the stories with you tomorrow.
We need to find a car like a Prius in the parking lot and put a parachute pack on the car.
I would love to do that. Hey, there's another story I wanted to bring up because I thought this was kind of interesting, and it's making the rounds today. There's a Catholic high school, I think this is in the Detroit area, that has suggested that female students wear what they call modesty ponchos at prom if their dresses are too revealing. They have since reversed their decision to do this.
Yes.
Because they said it had something to do with body shaming.
It's called Divine Child High School, and they no longer say that the ponchos will be passed out in a letter to parents that was dated May 1st. The principal, Eric Haley, said the school's intention was to never make students feel uncomfortable. One day after a rash of criticism by some students and parents who had called the policy a form of body shaming.
Wouldn't we believe, though, that the young lady wearing the gown would have selected it, like, so she would know how much skin is revealed?
Sure.
So that'd be fine. So in other words, do you show up and go, oh, my God, you can see my breasts, and then they give you the poncho? Or
they're making the decision.
Ah. They would. Mm-hmm. It's like, the skirt being too high.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so on. Yeah.
But you know what? I actually was having a discussion about, not this, but prom dresses in general on Monday, because it seems like they are getting to be a little bit crazier.
For a while,
17 and 18-year-old girls that are like, their boobs are hanging.
Did you see
out.
Lisa Rinna's daughter?
No.
Okay, so this became a bit of an Instagram thing over the weekend. I saw an article about it, and Lisa Rinna's daughter is 17 or so, and is shaped like her mother.
Okay.
And has, well, let's just say it, large breasts. And she was wearing a dress that was showing a lot of cleavage. But yeah. the problem that I had with it was that Lisa Rinna...
You couldn't download it.
No. It was shaming for the sake of shaming. And, and people were just were going after Lisa Rinna on Instagram and whatever else, saying, how could you let your teenage daughter go out and do this kind of thing? You know, at the end of the day, does it really affect anyone?
Nick, can we all just say the obvious? Is that we're adults. We prefer to see large, busted high school girls attending their proms.
Wait, yes. What?
Oh, did I say that wrong?
Yeah, you said
I probably meant it in a different way and it came out wrong. No, it's... I thought that there were always dress codes associated with the prom to begin with, right? So, but I mean... And then for a while, the memes that were going around of the internet stuff was the sort of outlandish nature of a lot of these gowns. But is it still the thing to get as provocative as possible?
It's to get a little bit more provocative, I would imagine. But
was your tuxedo low cut?
Or it was, It was very low cut. Yeah. Down to my belly button.
I mean, the reason, and like I understand, like, you know, Catholic schools have their standards and they have uniforms and all this sort of stuff, but what's going on here is then you are, as a school, you're kind of like you sir, like the parents have a say, you know
yes,
what I mean?
Do.
Like, usually do your prom dress shopping with your mother, usually. And if she says it's okay, then you got to be okay with that. You know what I mean?
Well, this is what they said. They said that the poncho was kind of a, they used it as an example, as a warning ahead of time.
It looked ugly. It looks ugly, too.
Yeah, the pink and pattern ponchos were previously on display inside the school with a note saying that they would be handed out to girls wearing dresses that violate the school's code. A note attached said, if your dress does not meet our formal dance dress requirements, no problem. We've got you covered. Literally, this is our modesty poncho, which will be given at the door. The person that created it was the theology teacher, Mary Pat O'Malley.
There we go.
I just don't like to see breasts.
Came up with the modesty poncho idea.
This is for dancing and enjoying punch with friends.
I almost thought it was a joke.
She said, well, it kind of was, Case. They were saying it was really intended as a deterrent and a lighthearted one at that.
Yeah. All right. Is this Lisa Rinna's...
daughter,
yes,
it is.
Yes. Yeah. She's Louise.
That's Amelia Gray.
I can sort of see where there might be an issue.
But if you see the picture, the full length picture of her with the other people that she's with, I mean, yes, her boobs are, you can see a lot of cleavage, but other than that, the dress is, I mean,
rather
modest. If you see the rest of the dress, it's not.
I don't think anyone will ever see the rest of the dress.
it's full length. It does not show leg. It does not show really anything inappropriate below the cleavage.
Just 70-80% of the breast.
Yeah.
But she's in high school.
Yes.
You know, so like, I don't want to be an old fuddy-duddy here, but listen, you're in high school. And do you say it's not okay?
No, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Also, is she 17 or is she 18? Because if she's 18, then I guess, well
you're an adult now. We're looking at another picture.
But she'd be around 15, 16, 17-year-olds. I kind of go with your first impression. Was it mom and dad let you leave the house in that? Then
yeah.
It should be okay.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't shame her. Shame her parents.
Yeah. But then again, if she wore something different and then changed on the way to the prom, you know,
there's nothing you can say about
Daisy
that.
Dukes.
But yeah. Like, if that were my daughter, I'm like, dude, you're no, right. You're not wearing that.
Right.
Not under my house.
Right.
I pay the bills. I make the rules.
Not under my roof.
Not under my roof.
Or under my house.
Or under my house.
I gotta
pay
you
my
house
in that small pit where I keep neighborhood girls. I can see. Listen, the good thing for me is I don't have kids, so I don't have to worry about this dilemma.
I don't remember anything about them stressing dress code issues when I went to prom.
Yeah, but you know what? You were too busy doing coke.
I was on cocaine, so I didn't care.
Cleavage wasn't a giant, like...
It wasn't. The dresses and the clothing were not an issue at that time. It was the same. I remember mine was... You know, we had nice dresses, but there wasn't a concern about that. And I remember shortly after, like when my brothers were graduating and they were going to prom, I remember seeing the girls walking in, and one girl was in a two-piece dress. So it was, you know, and her
belly exposed.
Yeah, I mean, completely exposed. And I was like, wow, that's much different. Just a few years later.
Yeah. I don't think. Do you see that as much? Do we know if the midriff thing is?
I think that came and went.
That did come and go, didn't it?
Yeah, there's still some. But
what about fully exposed genitals? Is that still a thing?
No, but I think that the dresses being more revealing is more of a thing now than when we were younger.
Do you remember that there used to be years ago, some memes that were making the round of some pretty outrageous dresses that I think you had mentioned in high school. Some one girl was pregnant and she had a big...
Yeah.
The stomach was cut out of the dress.
Oh, yeah.
Big old, like, 8-month, you know, pregnant belly hanging out. Oh, come on,
it's
man.
It's a statement.
It's a statement.
We're going to have fun.
But they had said that the formal dress policy of their prom outlines that dresses cannot have plunging necklines or cutouts below the traditional bra line, and it forbids exposed cleavage and visible midriffs, and a teacher will check for compliance at the door.
Well, then Lisa Rinna's daughter's gown would have violated substantially.
Severely plunging necklines.
Yes. But, you know, you have rules, and these are the school rules, whether it be a Catholic high school or not.
Oh, you're just a fuddy-duddy.
But those are the school rules. You know, it's just as simple as that. Listen, there was an uproar a few months back about some First Communion, and a girl wanted to wear a suit to the First Communion, and a lady, you know, took it to social media for the court of social media opinion. And I'm like, listen, I understand she doesn't want to wear a dress, but, like, the rules are the rules. She has to wear the dress. The boys can't wear jeans. You know, the boys have to wear their suits, and the girls have to wear their dresses.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
If you're going there and you want to go there, you're abiding by their rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. No, it makes sense. In this case, though, I don't know about the poncho, the modesty poncho thing, or what do they call it?
Yeah, with the modesty poncho.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Text came in and says, junior prom last week, many bare bellies.
Really?
Yeah. So I guess that's still a thing from time to time.
I don't know. Did you? The guys have it easier. Yeah. Obviously, you just got a tuxedo.
You just go around a tux.
Yep.
Yeah. Buy a Coke and you're ready to go.
Dude.
Tux and Coke.
Okay, got my tuxedo. Now, where am I going to get my cocaine?
Small tuxedo and cocaine.
I would like a pink bow tie and cummerbund and an 8-ball, please.
Yes.
Welcome to Van's Coke House. You're going to like the way you blow.
It's right there.
Which, by the way, we think is a terrible idea and you should not do that.
No, it's horrible. Yeah.
It's against the law.
I know. Somebody email me. Don't worry.
It's wrong. We know that.
Yeah.
But he dodged the bullet just as you gave up that lucrative career at the drum place and went into radio.
Yeah.
You realize that doing cocaine is wrong.
Oh, I told you. I said it sucks.
Yes.
As I said it flat out.
And look at me. I've never done a single drug in my life other than what Dr. Mike orders, you know, for me. And
you can fly.
I can fly.
Yeah, you go to the prom?
And I talk to angels.
Yeah.
Didn't you not go to your prom?
I did not go to my prom.
Maybe you should have done a line and then you could have.
If I had done a line, yeah. I would have done an 8-ball in the parking lot.
Just kidding.
Oh, man. So anyhow, yeah, this modesty modesty?
Poncho.
Poncho is, it's not a real thing. They did it as kind of an example of, look, if you wear one, it's not, you're going to end up wearing this all night.
How about a modesty sombrero? Where the shower curtain comes down a la the Karate Kid.
I would love
so
that.
This way you can wear something suggestive. You just pull the curtain back.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Interesting. We got to take a break because we are going to have Derek Smalls, bass player for Spinal Tap, who is now putting out his very first solo album. So we'll talk to Derek in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
In about 5 minutes or so, we're going to have on the phone line, I'm just giving you a heads up on this, but it's it's Harry Shearer, okay, you know, the great actor and voice actor, all those Simpsons characters. He's going to be, though, Derek Smalls from Spinal Tap, the bass player.
Legendary.
One of the great mockumentary movies of all time. He's getting ready to come on now, but he's going to be Derek the whole time. Yep. So Marissa's getting him set up. Hey, listen, I do want to mention, in our 50th year here at WMMR, the longest standing rock station in the country that still plays current rock music. We've had a lot of influential groups that have been on the airways here at MMR.
A ton.
And the gentleman that we're going to talk to next was a big part of one of the biggies. And clearly one of the greatest rock and roll documentaries ever made.
Yes.
Was made about his former band. He now has a solo disc out, which we're going to talk about. Last few years, he's been filed under the Where Are They Now file. But he's back with a vengeance.
Yes.
From Spinal Tap. Please welcome Mr. Derek Smalls.
Yes.
To the show this morning. Derek.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey, wonderful to have you 50, back.
50 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, 50 years, yeah. This station's it stood through a lot and continues to carry the torch for rock music, man.
Well, make sure your hand doesn't get burnt or singed.
We'll try not to.
The torch does tend to burn down. Yeah.
It does, really. Yeah, as time goes on.
I would like to start by saying, Derek, how impressed I am looking at the track listing and the musicians that you have on your debut disc. I mean, and this speaks to the influence that Spinal Tap has been through the years, because listen to these legendary
the luminaries:
Steve Lukather, Chad Smith, Taylor Hawkins, Donald Fagen, and Jeff Baxter, Skunk Baxter, Paul Schaefer, David Crosby, Steve Vai, Greg Bissonette, Joe Satriani, Rick Wakeman. I mean, how did that come about, that these wonderful names got on board this project?
Well, not just the names, but the actual people.
Oh, the actual people were there, too. You didn't, okay.
It was more than just the name. The actual musician showed up.
Gotcha. You can pay for the name.
Okay.
He's been in the business long enough to know that matters. By the way, did you mention the full name of the album, Preston?
No, I'm sorry, I did not.
It's a Small's Change, Meditations Upon Aging.
That's right. The upon is very important for the rhythm.
Upon Aging, Why Now? And this is an interesting thing here, because to Preston's point, you attracted all these great musicians.
Yes.
Did they hear that this was something you were working on and inquired? Did you reach out to them?
We reached out to them sometimes repeatedly. please return the message, that sort of thing.
Right.
But some of them we knew, Dweezil and Lukather. And Satriani had played on the previous Spinal Tap record from 1992, Break Like the Wind. Mm-hmm. So we knew them, or at least we knew their numbers. and in many cases after they finally did call back, the response was great generosity and warmth and I should say even maybe love, summed up by one of them. I don't think I can say this word on the air, but it was the first word in the two-word phrase was pity.
We can gather what the second word was.
I took that as a compliment because I've been on the other side of that equation many as a time.
Well, this impresses me because this is it seems to be the work of an artist who is looking back on a life and is has come to some conclusions. And I want to read a quote. I believe it's one of the lyrics. The quote is, age is just a number.
Yes.
Number is just a word.
Yes.
And word is just a thing.
Word is just a thing, yes.
That is very profound. And I think that's that kind of profundity is something you only arrive at after living the kind of life you've had.
Well, you need, I've lived a very loud life, you could say. And you need a little space of silence to be able to come up with those kinds of insights. Fortunately, I had such, that was what life, I had a friend in Albania that I went and lived with for a while, and that was...
Albania.
Yeah, and yeah. I'd say that was a time of some silence, although he was in a near-death metal band called Chainsaw Vermin, so it would get loud on occasion as well.
Chainsaw
near
Vermin.
Death. No, near-death metal.
Okay. Near-death metal.
The songs sound like they're never going to end, and then they do.
Okay. Well, to the point, the album starts off with a very lush sort of orchestral...
Yes.
A piece which kind of put me in mind of Days of Future Past by the Moody Blues. So I want to ask you, what were the inspirations where did you draw inspiration from the creation of this album?
Well, I should say the difference is that we had real strings, not a mellotron. The Hungarian Studio Orchestra is all over this record because it veers sharply from just hard rock to grand, almost pretentious in the best sense of the word, symphonic compositions. I think my inspiration was drawn from life, but also from the sense that I felt I needed to do something different from Tap, to rock hard, and then to use some more colors. And if you want to use more colors in rock and roll, you've got two choices. Add guitars, which, it doesn't do much. Or at a symphony orchestra, which, you know, gets all these horns tootling away and these strings song
right.
away. And then you've really got a lot more colors to play with.
And but you definitely don't deny the rock and the guitar bass
no.
with tracks like Gum and the Gash.
Yeah. Gum and the Gash, which
Steve Vai featured on that.
Yeah.
All over it. He's all over it, you might say.
He's all over Gum and the Gash.
Yes. And he draws a word picture with notes in, of what the song is about, I would say.
Okay.
There's right. there's a number of them. Hell Toupee.
Yes.
And Toupee is T-O-U-P-E-E, not yeah. Toupee,
well,
not two separate words.
That comes from, I spend a lot of time thinking about the Supreme Evil One. And people may view this as a bit shallow, but I also think about how he thinks about how he looks. And that's where that song comes
from. Hell Toupee. Okay. He might have some issues with hair loss. And,
he might.
Okay. Okay.
And he might not have his doctor's office searched. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Derek, I did want to ask about Tap and your relationship with Nigel and
yes.
David. And
yes.
do you guys stay in touch and what they might be up to?
Well, I know what Nigel's up to. He sent a very nice message saying he liked the record, but he's moved to the south of England. He's got a fairly large farm. And he's been obsessed, I think is a fair word to use, for about the past 8 or 9 years since we played Glastonbury and Wembley. Obsessed growing miniature animals, breeding miniature animals, not growing them. And he's guitar players are such extreme personalities, aren't they?
He's breeding miniature animals.
Yes. You know, guitarists are this sort of personality that fly too close to the sun, get their wings singed, and then have to come back to Earth and put sun cream on them. And he's miniature animals, but he pushes it too far. So the first, he bred miniature horses for a while. He couldn't find jockeys small enough to ride them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And now he's turned to goats, miniature goats, which are cute as all get out.
Yeah.
But again, pushed too far. Too small to milk.
Oh, so my goodness.
They must be extraordinarily miniature.
They are. They're, you can hold them in the palm of your hand. But, you know, so he just pushes too far. David, I really don't know. I don't know if you know this. I'm not ashamed of it, but I'm not ashamed of it either. I was addicted to the internet, so I can't use it.
Yes, I remember.
Yes. So David, I hear from, he'll send a letter in the post every once in a while, and I'll open it up very eagerly. You know, and it's always Chinese pictograms on the paper, which I don't read, strangely enough.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So I don't know if he's saying, I miss you, mate, or I love the new record, or I'd like a dim sum and duck for three. I don't know.
Chinese pictograms.
Okay.
Chinese pictograms. Huh. It might be his wife, his woman, I don't know, if they can, but, you know, it might be Janine writing it.
Oh, she might still be in the picture. Wow.
She's in the picture. I think she's taking the picture, mate.
Wow.
I wanted to ask, I'd mentioned this is Spinal Tap, wonderful documentary about your group, and there was another great documentary that you guys have a sort of a tandem relationship to. It's called A Mighty Wind, and it's about the folk music explosion. And there's a group called the Folksmen that have opened for you guys on a couple of occasions.
Yes.
And there's such a diametrically opposed musical flavor. How did you ever consider having those guys be a support act for Tap?
It wasn't really our idea. It was a promoter's idea. I think there was a backhander involved, which is, I think you Americans would say, a payoff. Because it was embarrassing for them. I saw them come off the stage a few times with just giant liquid stains around their armholes.
Okay.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Because they're just absolutely the absolute worst possible opening.
I think they were hooted off the stage more often than not. Because our audience wants it loud. And folk music is, I think the whole nature of folk music is can be summed up by the word shh.
Okay. I would agree.
Folk music, yes, absolutely.
Hey, Derek, I don't know if you saw this morning, a news story, but Gibson has filed for bankruptcy.
I heard about that.
Yeah. As a musician, what do you have to say about that?
Well, listen, musicians are always one step away from bankruptcy, so I think that may bind us to Gibson. I think it's the first time I've thought in a long time that Gibson knew something about the musician's life. You know, there's a song on this record called Give Me Some More Money.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, you go, you,
what's
start,
that about?
You start out busking in the street, you know, with a hat in front, Give Me Some Money, which was an old Thamesman song from the early days of Tap. And you go, you get signed to a record company, you get robbed blind. You can, then it's in the 2000s, and they say, oh, sorry, the record business doesn't exist anymore. Too bad you missed it. And here we are now saying, give me some more money, just like Gibson. So
okay,
we're all in it together now. Maybe they can give me a guitar.
It would certainly be nice. But but as you take this journey on this album, which is, you know, you coming to terms with where you are in life and aging, at the end of it all, you do defer to the thing that got you to the dance, which is rock. The last track being When Men Did Rock. And are you is that the defiance coming out in you at the end?
Men still do rock. This is a look, an epic, I should say, look backward at a time when we didn't just rock, but we bestrode the earth. Like so many colossuses back in the 1970s, you know, we were just planting musical pyramids in the desert, so to speak. And looking back at that time, we still rock, but we will never see that time again, I don't think.
You know, looking at the track listing and the songs and each one with the guest musicians, they are all given songwriting credits in each one of these songs, which leads me to believe that this was almost like a get-together and jam type of thing.
No. I wrote the songs. They get credit for appearing, but not for writing.
Okay. Yeah. All right, gotcha.
We didn't want to ask too much of them because, you know... that they're busy, gentlemen. So I just said, no, just play on it. Don't worry about it. The songs are written because otherwise it's an additional cost.
Well, we were surprised to see Jane Lynch's name pop up in a couple of the credits as well.
Yes.
An actress.
She's a great singer, as it turns out, and she was a fan.
All right.
Well, I say she was a fan.
She was a fan prior to the recording.
Prior to the recording, yeah.
What is the potential for playing some dates to support this album?
We have done a world premiere of the live show, which is called Lukewarm Water Live, An Adventure in Loud Music, in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago with the Louisiana Philharmonic. We play in Pittsburgh with the Pittsburgh Symphony, Atlanta with the Atlanta Symphony. In each case, we play with a symphony that's named after the city we're playing in.
It's a good gimmick.
A gimmick. And then in Washington, D.C. with the National Symphony at Kennedy Center in July. And then we take a bit of a break, and hopefully we'll add some more cities. But it's a very large show, Symphony Orchestra, and it's the we do world premiere the inflatable big torpedo, which flies over the audience.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's excellent.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, what is it like to finally be calling all the shots? You were in a band where people had equal say, and here you are. This is you, your name, it's your project. How does this feel to you?
Well, you know, and you can say I'm late to the party or something, but as I was standing in the old band, playing bass and occasionally coming up to my microphone and singing a song or two, I didn't realize that the lights on the center mic where the lead singer stands are brighter.
Mm.
And if you know your physics, you know that light equals heat.
Mm.
And as time goes on, you get more sensitive to the cold. So I would be doing this just for the warmth.
Oh, just alone.
just to get warmer.
Stay warm.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. That's a different reason than I would have thought. But
understood.
Yeah, not even artistic.
It's quite basic.
Yeah.
Hey, well, we're quite happy for you, Derek.
Thank you.
Continuing to branch out and do the things that you want to do, and this is a really cool experience for you and for the fans of Spinal Tap as well.
I hope so. You know, it's an album about the what time can take and what time can give back, and I people would say to me, aren't you narrowing your focus by concentrating on that? And I thought to myself, and then I said shortly afterwards, there are only two kinds of people in the world: people who are getting older and dead people. And so I'm focusing on the active segment of the audience.
Financially, it's going to yield a bigger benefit.
I think so.
Yeah.
As a friend once said, dead men can't stream.
Ah!
Yeah.
Sage advice.
Brilliant in its simplicity. I love that. Excellent. All right.
Well, Derek, come if you can, bring the tour here. We'd love
to
see
Philadelphia. We'd love to have you.
Would love to.
Excellent. All right. The new solo debut solo CD, Smalls Change, is available now. Derek Smalls, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
All right, take care. I love it, man.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
That was...
She was a fan. That was fantastic. I absolutely loved that.
I loved your, you know, how'd you get names? Well... we got the artist too to come in.
Yeah, right.
Not just the name. You know, he's sharp, man. He's,
well,
could
he's
you
great.
Ever be a,
no.
a character for, you know, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever?
I could.
There. I couldn't.
Yeah,
do it.
But not as good as he does it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, but that's where they come from when they do these Christopher Guest films. They are. You know, they're just totally immersed in that.
I forgot at the end of A Mighty Wind how he ends up dressing like a woman.
Yes.
And
yes.
he then inhabits that character as one of the Volksmen.
Mm-hmm. And if you're just catching the last half of that and are a little confused as to what was going on, that was Harry Shearer, who plays Derek Smalls, bass player for Spinal Tap. And if you've never seen that movie, do you think it holds up to people who've never seen it or might not be aware of the whole heavy metal phenomenon?
It would, I think, because, you know, it's maybe a little bit of a time, but it embraces the pomposity of a lot of that that's still in music. But it also, in a way, it is a loving sort of bittersweet look at the career ship has passed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's sort of a redemption at the end. But I mean, how many times in that movie are you out loud laughing?
There are so many moments, but the first one that pops into my mind right now is when they're playing. It's like Cleveland or something like that, and they're getting ready to go on stage, and they can't. They get lost backstage, and they're going down these tunnel ways, and like each time they're like, "Oh, we need to make it right here." All right, Cleveland.
And they round and there's the same custodian.
Yeah.
No, you got to go up the stairs here, and there's two doors. Don't go in the first door.
Oh my
it's the second door.
God.
You walk across a platform.
It's just brilliant.
But when they're going to do, they're appearing at the park.
Oh.
And the first time they see Puppet Show
and Spinal Tap. And you guys, you caught the line I used at the beginning of the
end. Yeah.
When I was introducing them, say, well, they haven't been together in a while, so they're in the Where Are They Now file. They're playing in a city that night, and they hear an old song when they were a different band. They had a different name, and they were playing this way back and said, eventually they became Spinal Tap, and they now reside in the Where Are They Now file. And they're in that town that night playing.
But the manager's coming in like, hey, we're getting some airplay.
Oh, my God.
And then realizes that they're just an afterthought.
Yeah, there's a lot of inside stuff, like the record company, you know, Paul Schaefer playing the record exec and things like that. But I think those those are hilarious. And Fran Drescher, was sort of based on Bobby Silver.
Bobby Silver,
a good friend of
local record rep who we've known for years and years.
Preston, have you seen Pop Star Never Stop
Stopping? I'm not, and I need to.
It's a modern take on Spinal Tap, and Andy Samberg plays a Justin Bieber-like character, but Pop Star wouldn't exist without Spinal Tap.
No, and there is specifically in Pop Star Never Stopping, he wants to appear as if he's a bit of a social justice warrior. So he writes a song about homosexuality.
Oh, my God.
But he goes, being gay, but I'm not gay. And the refrain is, but I'm not gay. But I'm not. And it keeps going. And everyone's
not gay.
Not gay. And it's hilarious.
Oh, my God. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd like this movie a lot.
Okay. All right. There's so many good ones. And I'd reference The Mighty Wind, which is another, it's an offshoot. Christopher Guest didn't direct Spinal Tap. Rob Reiner did.
Right.
But Christopher Guest was one of the main characters. He played Nigel.
To the Spinal Tap thing, Preston, when there are shots in that movie where Spinal Tap is performing. They were all playing their instruments, and they're on stage, and they would book the Spinal Tap act into actual rock shows in, like, Kansas City.
Yep.
And so they would open for another band. And the audience had no idea that they were seeing, and they're getting into it, and they're you know, like a big was it Sex Farm, and they're
Sex Farm.
You're jumping along to the songs, and it's just great. You're actually seeing an audience unaware that's a complete joke on stage.
And when we were talking about the Folksmen, they're from A Mighty Wind. It's the same three guys.
Yeah.
It's Michael McKean, it's Christopher Guest, and Harry Shearer. only they play a folk group. And when Spinal Tap would go out to do some shows, like they did one at Wembley, I think, and they had the Folksmen open for them. But people didn't know that it's the same three guys. And they savaged them on stage because they want this, you know, this metal band, even though it's a joke. But they savaged the Folksmen, not knowing it was the same three guys.
Awesome. Yeah, that's sage advice. If you've never seen Spinal Tap, this is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Watch it. Watch it this weekend.
All right, that was cool, man. I enjoyed that. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. We'll get to some bizarre file stories. We still got a few other giveaways coming up before we wrap for the day. You know what? Should I, since we're talking rock shows, Case?
Yeah.
Can I give away?
Oh, the Bon Jovi?
Yeah, the concert's tomorrow night.
Yeah, it is.
So we have a chance for you to be in the suite. Steve Morrison is going to be there tomorrow night. Our 50th birthday concert with Bon Jovi. You will be in our stage right suite, and we can take caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR, and I will give you tickets to go to that tomorrow night. How about it? We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
50 years of live music as captured by 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much for coming.
Introducing live from the MM Archives.
Welcome to the show.
Weekdays at 1:30, Pierre Robert presents one of our 50 favorite live songs captured live over the years from the MMR studios or during live broadcast from the Tower, Factory, and Ardmore Music Hall. We'll dig through the intimate fan experiences hosted by MMR from Sigma Sound, Grape Street, the Ripley and Bijou Cafe, and the Main Point.
Everybody ready to rock?
Yes!
So,
we live for the rock.
Live from the MM Archives, daily at 1:30. Encores with Jackson at 5:30 and 9:30 with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, we got stories to share with you. It's Bizarre File time, so here it comes.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve. Bizarre.
Brought to you this morning by Boston Market. Come into Boston Market any Wednesday, Friday, or Sunday after 5, and you get a rotisserie prime rib meal with two sides and cornbread. Boston Market dinner is always ready. At a train station in Hamamatsu City, a male high school student was approached by an older man who said, "I will give you 1,000 yen if you sneeze."
I'll give you 1,000 yen if you sneeze.
The boy did, so the man handed young man a 1,000 yen bill and a tissue. Now, while on paper, that might sound like an awesome deal, the creepiness factor most likely gets a little jacked up when it happens in real life. It's unclear whether the student fulfilled his end of the bargain or simply gave back the money, but either way, he was disturbed enough to go to the police afterward and file a report.
That's easy money just for sneezing.
But I think the guy wanted to keep the tissue that he sneezed into.
Sick bastard.
The man is described as in his 30s and about 5 feet 10 inches tall. The issue of whether or not
I like snot.
What the man was doing was a crime, as unsettling as it was. In order to pursue the investigation, police are citing Article 2 of the Police Act, which allows it to act under the aim of maintaining public safety and order. The authorities are currently asking around and checking security footage for more information on the sneeze procurer.
They have the mucus division working on it.
Until they know more, they are advising all residents to be on the alert.
Don't sneeze for strangers.
This isn't the first such incident in Hamamatsu City. October 2016, a high school boy reported being approached by a man described as in his 20s, the man said to him, "Can you sneeze? I'm doing research on sneezing."
Sounds like the same guy.
And in December of that same year, police were able to find the man and give him a warning to not ask people for sneezes again.
They said at one point a school student was approached by a guy for a sneeze, and another guy came up for a burp.
Oh, man.
And he's like, "Wait, guys, this one at a time here."
Too much. Medical workers applied a plaster cast on the fractured hand of a 9-year-old boy too tightly, making it decompose.
Oh, my God.
A hand heard, court heard yesterday.
The hand, the blood cut off to the hand?
Yeah, yeah. The hand was later amputated. The boy has now sued the management of Kakamega County General Hospital.
I would never go to Kakamega Hospital.
Citing negligence.
What are you going to that Kakamega Hospital for?
His hand was amputated above the elbow, leaving an 8-inch stump. The boy told the court that his left hand got fractured when he fell from a tree. Health workers who attended him The same day, told his mother that he had fractured his hand. Since the dispensary had no x-ray machine, they took him to a hospital, Kakamega Hospital.
Yeah, Kakamega.
Where a plaster cast was applied, and he was asked to return in 10 days. However,
it's right next to Amputation Memorial.
After 3 days, the child complained of severe pain. His grandmother took him back to the hospital. The hand was found to have started rotting.
Oh, my God. It must have been, he must have been in pain.
He had to have been. And the medics recommended amputation, so they're filing a lawsuit.
Did not need to happen.
No. Officials in Washington State say
Japan.
D.C. Say a Lamborghini struck a concrete light pole in Northern Virginia and was cut in half. And I saw the picture of it. It was not lengthwise, but widthwise. It was sliced in half.
Jesus.
And news outlets reported Friday that the driver of the car that was split in two during the crash was treated for minor injuries. The
car's cut in half and, like, he walks away?
Yeah. The County Fire and Rescue Department said in a tweet that the back end of the
vehicle... Wait a second, Nick, I owe you some money.
Was on fire. Did he sneeze?
Yeah. He just sneezed for me.
Was on fire, but was quickly extinguished. Damage was also visible on the front passenger side of the vehicle. But
good Lord.
The whole rear end.
It's sheared in half.
Is completely gone.
Whoops.
Yep. In May of 2017, British driver Bhavesh Patel climbed behind the wheel of his white Tesla S60 and headed down the crowded M1 highway at about 40 miles an hour. Well, he wanted to relax, so he switched on the autopilot function. But then... he swapped to the passenger seat for maximum comfort. I mean, he just left the driver's seat altogether. After kicking up his feet and putting his hands behind his head, he left both the steering wheel and the foot controls entirely neglected.
Don't they recommend you still remain alert?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for Patel, his seat switch was caught on film by a fellow driver who passed him on the highway.
So did he make his destination?
Yeah,
I mean, the car will get you there.
Yeah, so BBC News has reported that after an investigation by the court, Patel pleaded guilty to dangerous driving. He's been banned from the M1 for 18 months and is required to perform 100 hours of unpaid work as punishment. Pay the Crown Prosecution Services a fine of about $2,500 and undertake 10 days of rehabilitation. While Tesla, of course, provides its cars with an autopilot function, it is not infallible. A Tesla engineer who testified in the court case... reiterated that autopilot is intended to assist a fully attentive driver, not replace the driver entirely. And there still needs to be someone behind the wheel ready to make corrections in the event of an emergency.
However, we are at the point where the cars will be good enough where you could hop in the back and take a nap.
Well, yeah, but those will be... Those are going to have to say they have the ability to do that. This, they still say you're not allowed to do
they
that.
Recommend so. No. Yeah, well, you remember the footage of the guy... it was a woman sitting in the driver's seat, and a woman came out from the side of the road in the dark. Nothing in the car clicked on and collided right into her, killed her.
The worrying thing is that Patel's attitude toward the whole thing, while he acknowledged that what he did was silly, he also noted that he was just the unlucky one who got caught, which implies that this is definitely a thing that he's seen fellow Tesla drivers doing.
Why
before.
Would you? By the way, you could still sit in the driver's seat. My seat goes back.
You can relax.
You can relax, and you know what you do. You just put tape around your hands to the wheel.
You know what? I will never. And you know what? We're going to wrap up the bizarre file there. That's it. I will never, even if I were to get a car that has that feature.
Yeah.
I would never feel totally comfortable. The only time that I would ever have any kind of comfort is if there is some sort of network that all vehicles are tied into.
Like in Minority Report.
Exactly. Yeah. That you can let it take over because you know that it is fully aware of the actions of every other vehicle that is around you. Now, I know that they can sense that, but when there is a central controlling unit that has its, hands on everything, and then you're going to feel like Big Brother's taking over. But anyhow, I would never, ever relax completely.
Even still, there's going to be accidents. But that said, I agree. There's not a standardization at this point.
Yep, exactly. We have a secret text word.
Yeah.
We need a number caller.
Cafe.
5.
Caller number 5215263WMMR. If you know the secret text word, get on the horn now. Give us a call. And if you know that word and you're the fifth caller, you're going to win. We're going to grab a random texter while we take a break as well and find out who wins when we get back. And we'll also have a lesson question and more when we get back. Stay with us.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
We're doing the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event at the Phoenixville Pfizer parking lot, Collegeville, I'm sorry. And it says light rain in the afternoon. Well, our event is in the morning when it's going to be most beautiful.
It's perfect.
So sign up now. Details, WMMR.com. It's going to be a beautiful day. We're doing a great thing for the Laurel House and raising money for that, and of course, which is to combat domestic violence. We're going to go to the phones. We have a secret text word that we're trying to give away, and we were looking for caller number 5. We got to find out that secret word, and I will go to Bob, who is our 5th caller. Hey, Bob.
Hey, I just stepped out of the shower.
Hey, nice and squeaky clean. I love it. So, Bob, do me a favor. Tell me what today's secret text word is.
Amplifier.
Yeah, you got it. Nice work, Mr. B. Hang on the line. We'll get some information from you, and we will take care of it because we got a pair of tickets for you as MMR Rocks Hailstorm at the Reading Eagle Theater, May 10th, with In This Moment, New Year's Day, and Stitched Up Heart. Some tickets remain, Ticketmaster.com and the Santander Arena box office. We are also going to give tickets to our random texter, and that is Phil Kiriakis, who is from Media PA. So congratulations to you, Phil. We'll take care of you. We needed to do today's lesson question, see how close you've been paying attention, and we will give away a pair of tickets for a night of interactive comedy with comedians Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood, who you know from Whose Line Is It Anyway? And it's Friday night, by the way, at the New X Site Center, Parks Casino. So the question I have for you, when you work for Johnny Depp, what does he do to you to hire you officially?
It's a little process.
Raise your right hand, you get sworn in, but what's it called? When you work for Johnny Depp, what does he do to you when to hire you officially? 215-263-WMMR. Let us do the Hollywood Trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Estrue, South Jersey's sports specialty retailer. Visit them in Marlton or online at AISTRIU.com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, online tabloid Heat claiming Caitlyn Jenner has moved into a romance with transgender friend Sophia Hutchins, who helped her transition. Caitlyn says she's doing all sorts of lovey-dovey things and even picked Sophia a bouquet of trees.
Oh, my God.
A new report claims Alex Rodriguez is saying no to marrying Jennifer Lopez because he's got cold feet. Rodriguez says he's worried he'll grow tired of plowing one of the three greatest asses ever to walk the earth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And it seemed just a while ago that she had a baby with a former boyfriend, Rob Kardashian. Now comes word that Blac Chyna is having a baby with her current 18-year-old boyfriend, YBN Almighty J. Said Chyna, quote, "Stop judging. It's not as if there are ways to keep from getting pregnant."
Wow.
You meant your Hollywood Trash.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
I did not know that one. All right. We'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. When you work for Johnny Depp, what does he do to you to officially hire you? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I'll just hang on here for a second because I don't have any callers that are up on hold that I can.
Is there like a winner, please?
As of yet. Yes. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Oh, yes. You're caller number one.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no. Hang on a second.
Yes, am I there?
Thank you.
This is Mandy.
Thank you.
I'm going to go over here to Justin, see if we can get an answer. Hey, Justin, good morning to you.
What's going on?
Yo, Justin, we're looking for that answer. When you work for Johnny Depp, what does he do to you to hire you officially?
Deptizes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on a second, dude. We're going to give you tickets to a very cool event, Night of Interactive Comedy with comedians Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood from Drew Carey's improv TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And that's one night only. It's Friday, 8 p.m. at the New Excite Center at Parks Casino. ParksCasino.com for tickets, and you have to be at least 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
And it is brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So you want to call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? Metallica has been named as one of the headliners of the 17th annual Austin City Limits Music Festival, marking the first time that the metal legends will appear at the long-running event. Joining Metallica, couple other big names like Paul McCartney.
Whoa!
Yeah, he's going to be headlining it. along with Arctic Monkeys, Childish Gambino, Travis Scott, and Odeska. While other artists confirmed to perform include Greta Van Fleet, Deftones, Hozier, Churches, The National, Father John Misty, and Janelle Monáe, and many, many more.
I would like to get back there. I enjoyed my time there, but my wife's like, oh, we've been there, done that. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, but every single time it's different.
That's what you say. Every year it's different.
Woman! Woman!
That band, The National, I just can't get into them. I've tried. They had a documentary about them that was actually really, really good because the documentary was shot by the lead singer's brother.
Yeah.
And ended up becoming something completely different. But musically, I'm like,
was the documentary good?
It was amazing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because
I thought it stunk.
No, the documentary was great because so the band it's kind of like an American, I don't even know, like Radiohead maybe. It's kind of a mellow sound. The brother who went on tour, it's funny. The brother who went on tour decides to shoot a documentary. Well, the lead singer hired him to be a roadie. He's like, no. I'm going to shoot a documentary instead.
And then the documentary became about the brother sort of coming of age. Like he's a mess up. I almost said it F word. He's a failure, and he can't get anything right. And then eventually he gets this documentary right by making it about himself.
Oh.
And it's Casey's right. It's a great movie.
Interesting. It's like the Eagles of Death Metal documentary you had me watch, Casey. Mm-hmm. That was great. I went and listened to the music, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, so music aside, and the funny thing about this is the brother doesn't even care for the band's music.
Right.
Okay. He's like a metalhead, right? So he's interviewing the guitarist. He's like, yeah, but can you play fast?
And they're at Austin City Limits?
National. They will be there. Well, this is the music festival coming up. More than 125 acts are going to perform on 8 stages during both weekends of the event. Scheduled for October 5th through the 7th and October 12th through the 14th at Zilker Park in Austin. 3-day general admission tickets for both weekends are on sale now at ACLFestival.com. And VIP and hotel packages are also available. Single-day tickets and packages will go on sale later in the year. But that's big with Metallica and Paul McCartney.
Oh, my God.
On the bill.
Are you, you have any desire to see Paul McCartney again?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Without question. I would love to do that again.
Would you like to see him in a more, maybe see him in a more intimate place? Like,
I don't care.
Riddle House?
Riddle House would be nice. I hear that place is closing.
Is it?
No!
What?
Somebody texted in a couple weeks and said that. I don't know if it's true or not.
I'll text the owner right now. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Oh, you name dropper. Yeah.
Name drop.
Well, I didn't say his name.
Yeah.
I don't know what his name is. No, it's Nick Pompei. You just made me say it.
Thank you.
Back to you, Preston.
All right, so.
You saw him at the ballpark, McCartney, not Nick Pompei?
No, I did not see him at the ballpark.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Pompei!
What I was going to say is I would like to see him again, and it doesn't have to be a small venue, but I would not like to see him at an outdoor ballpark. I just would. The Wells Fargo Center was perfect.
I agree with you, but I did see him at the ballpark at that show, and it was one of the top 5 concerts I've ever been to. And I would love to see him come back to an arena again. But I was not at all disappointed by the ballpark show.
Okay. We covered this earlier. Gibson Brands Incorporated, the maker of some of America's most famous electric and acoustic guitars, has filed for bankruptcy.
Very sad.
The Nashville-based company announced Tuesday that it's filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and that they're working on refocusing, reorganizing, restructuring by shedding some of its side businesses and concentrating on its original mission of just selling musical instruments. Gibson CEO Henry Jaskiewicz said in a statement, over the past 12 months, we have made substantial strides through an operational restructuring. We have sold non-core brands, increasing earnings, and reduced working capital demands. The non-core brands that the company has shed in an effort to lessen its massive debt include an audio and home entertainment business that Gibson acquired for $135 million from multinational tech firm Philips in 2000.
Get rid of it.
So that didn't go anywhere.
Showtime Rotisserie Grill.
The reorganization could lead Gibson, which also manufactures other well-known brands like Epiphone and Kramer, to focus squarely on its instruments business and hopefully inspire new generations to pick up guitars again. This was just handed to
just me. This in? Is this a breaking news?
I don't know. I have no idea what it is.
Here you go. Your cute sign, Marissa.
For my... For more than 50 years at the Riddle Ale House stood as a fixture of West Baltimore Pike in Middletown. The restaurant has not only supported three generations of the Pompey family.
Yes.
Blah, 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 blah. In the coming weeks, the Riddle Ale House will be no more.
Are you kidding?
What it says.
When we were working there at Y100, which was just up the street, I'd go to the Riddle Ale House periodically for lunch and for dinner to have a pop after work.
Well, that's where I used to get my, they had a carryout packaged liquor or packaged beer.
Yeah.
To-go spot, and that's where I would get my beer from.
That's sad.
Owner Arnold
like those people.
Pompey confirmed that he has sold the business and property and that there are no plans to open another location, Case.
Okay. Well, the what is the status of that the mall now? Are they erecting the promised condominiums and apartments?
Everything's going up. Parking garages. Have you been by there lately?
Just, I saw it from a distance.
It was just a pile of rubble for the longest time, and now it's actually starting to take shape.
All right.
What's wild is after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I couldn't find the shirts and stuff that I wanted, so I ended up going to Boscov's, but before that I went into Sears. I was the only one in that whole store. I mean, literally.
It doesn't bode well.
No. No, I mean, I couldn't.
For a place to do well, it needs to attract more than one person.
You need to have customers.
By the way, it closed. Riddle Ale House closed on Friday.
I wish we had known.
Yeah.
Going to be a Super Wawa?
They're saying it might be a Super Wawa.
Well, that's
a good
okay.
spot for a Super Wawa.
All right.
It's a really good spot. Moving on. Anyway. Allison Chains. Has teased the arrival of new music, both on stage and in a weird new video clip that the band is sharing online. During its tour opener in Boston last week, the group's new North American track got underway. Guitarist Jerry Cantrell reportedly announced that a new song would be arriving this week, adding that no further details have been made public at this point. They're not playing any new material on the current road trip. Additionally, the band posted a teaser clip on Twitter, although the strange image did not feature any new music. Rage Against the Machine and Prophets of Rage drummer Brad Wilk revealed in an interview recently on a podcast that he had auditioned for Pearl Jam in 1991 before the band's debut album 10 was released.
Interesting.
He said, they go to England to mix 10, which Tim Palmer was doing. I get a call from Eddie. And he said, we just lost our drummer. I'd love to have you to come up and meet everybody. I'm going to send you the tape of some songs.
Yeah, we're going to record at the Riddle Ale House.
What?
Wilk said, I'm like crapping my pants. I've never been out of the country. I've got to go get my effing passport. I'm listening to the songs. I'm super young. He was 23 years old and thinking, this is my break. This is my time. I go to Europe.
Jesus.
We play together. Me and Eddie have this history, and we were bonding over it in Europe. But to the others, I'm just the new guy. So their original drummer, Dave Cruzan, who played on 10, had bowed out of the band already due to some drug issues.
Preston, look at this picture up in the studio here. That is a classic wow. Eddie Vedder. The Casey face. Do it.
He's making the face. Yeah.
Cheers, buddy.
Hey, look, we have a cheers. Hey, you want a beer?
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
So Wilk said, long story short, I go there and I just don't click musically, mostly with Jeff, who is an incredible bass player, awesome guy. And this is a classic case. It doesn't matter how good you are. Chemistry is everything. And it just wasn't clicking. And I wasn't the guy. Wilk said he stayed with the band for about a week until he finally headed back home. Later in 1991, he co-founded Rage Against the Machine with Tom Morello, Zach De La Roca, and Tim Comerford.
So in your face.
And everything ended up working out all right. And he ended up being an audio slave and some other things, too. So, but he did have a shot at Pearl Jam. Interesting. And then finally, the mysterious Guns N' Roses website, GNRFM, has added a countdown clock that is set to hit zero at midnight Eastern time.
That's a mystery.
This Friday. We talked about it yesterday. In addition, the site now features a map of the world with various cities lit up and a radio transmission featuring the rare early Guns track, Shadow of Your Love. The site came online earlier this week with the message, Destruction is Coming, on the homepage, in tandem with a London billboard featuring the cover art from Appetite for Destruction, leading fans to speculate that a deluxe reissue or a reunion of the original band lineup could be underway. It sounded more and more like it might be a tour.
This is troubling.
If cities are lighting up on there.
I think we got to get the president out of here, get him to Arizona.
Yeah. Things are
looking weird.
This is an omen of sorts. Yeah. So we shall see. And then finally, Imagine Dragons is getting on in on the eSports game. A guitarist, Wayne Sermon, and drummer Daniel Platzman have partnered with company Rec T Global, or is it, yeah, whatever, to become co-owners of its Las Vegas-based eSports organization called Rogue. They're described as an eSports infrastructure company that looks to bridge the gap between traditional sports and eSports. While Rogue fields the team in Overwatch, Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, and Rainbow Six Siege leagues.
Okay, so these are all online multiplayer gaming setups.
I guess.
Yeah, all the games you mentioned have online tournaments.
So
Kathy, you can verify that.
Yes, they do.
Imagine Dragons first entered the esports world in 2014 with their song Warriors, which they wrote for the League of Legends World Championships. Mm-hmm. That is what I have for you in music news this morning.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Royal Blood. I only lie when I love you. Nathaniel Rateliff in the Night Sweats. Tom Kiefer featuring Lizzie Hale.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Is the pool open?
Pool's open, but it's like 62 degrees. It's freezing cold. Yeah. But today should bump up a little
bit.
Did
you find any dead animals in
there? Well, there was a dead frog in the skimmer. Yeah. So we had to
poor bastard.
Get that out of there. Never made it out alive.
Somewhere there's a family still of frogs. Yep. Where's daddy?
He will be missed. enjoy the weather today. 88 degrees, man, and sunshine. Partly cloudy tomorrow, 91. Partly cloudy on Friday, 90. And then the weekend's going to be mid-70s, low to mid-70s. It's going to be quite pleasant. Thank you very much to Mr. Derek Small.
Yes.
For being on our show this morning. Also known as Harry Shearer, but he wasn't breaking that character at all. Derek Small is the bass player for Spinal Tap. And he's got a debut album out. It's his first solo album called Small's Change, Meditations Upon Aging, and some very funny songs in there, like one called Gummin' the Gash, which would play into Spinal Tap's history as well, stuff like that. So anyhow, it's great having him on, Pierre Robert. It's great to have him in the studio again today.
I love how he said, you know, like some veterans will not say Pink Floyd. They'll go, well, you know, Floyd was there. Yeah. And the other one go, well, Zeppelin did that. Yeah. And he goes, Tap did that.
Yeah,
Tap did that. Back in Tap, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was he said. It was great.
I loved it. My first question was like, I said, man, you have all these great names on here. And I started rattling off, you know, Joe Satriani and Steve Vai and Chad Smith. And I said, guess what? We don't just have the names. We have the actual people.
That was so great.
He was awesome.
He's so
it's
funny.
Like you can just pay for the names.
Oh God, that's great.
but we have the people.
By the way, I have a little clip. I don't know if Pancake has gotten it.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
I thought with our birthday having just occurred on Sunday, I played this when we got to 1969, and I think you guys were in bed at that point.
Yeah.
Because we played a song for every year. But this is a pretty fascinating, it's only a minute long, but it's the first day the first DJ got to MMR, April 29th, 1968, and was getting ready to go on the air and was looking at the record collection, he thought.
Oh, okay, here we go.
When you got here, how many records were there actually around to play with?
When I got here, there were none.
None?
People who are big fans of WMMR, who weren't around then, have to understand that WMMR grew out of an automated radio station. We went on the air with the Marconi experiment on April 29th at 8 o'clock. Before 8 o'clock on April 29th, 1968, this was an automated radio station where they were playing tapes of people like Peggy Lee and Frank Sinatra and Sergio Mendez and Vicky Carr and people like that.
And in fact, the rest of the day for some months to come.
Well, it was that, and the rock and roll Marconi experiment was this little island out of the 24 hours. So, to make a long story short, I'd gotten the gig and auditioned and sent tapes and went through all of that, and I hadn't been living in the area yet. I was living out of the Jersey Shore.
Oh, what happened?
I really kind of arrived for my first day at work on WMMR to go on the air at 8 o'clock. I might have, you know, arrived at the station 2, 3 that afternoon, getting ready for my first job. And then said, so where's the record library? Because I want to, like, pick the records for the show. And everybody went, what?
Records?
Didn't you bring the records? I said, Didn't I bring the records? What do you mean? So well, we don't have any rock and roll records here. So about 11 of us, the general manager and a guy who worked in the mail room and this guy and that, we ran out to Sansom Street here, and some people went up to over on Market Street, and we bought up all these records. And when we finally went on the air that night, we really didn't even have enough records to fill 4 hours without like repeating the same albums again.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Isn't that great?
No actual records. And the first song played was Flying by the Beatles.
Flying from Magical Mystery Tour.
Did he happen to just buy that record, I guess?
I don't know.
I wasn't sure what the significance of that being the first song. It's great that a Beatles song was the first song ever played on MMR.
It is great, and it's perfect, you know, with the instrumental and just the voices coming in at the end. But And he would read this incantation, this little poem, Arise My Heart, and I don't know the rest of it, so I don't want to mess it up, but it would open with Arise My Heart, and he would say that over Flying at the beginning of every show. That
over
was
the lips and past my gums.
Dave Herman, and he was being interviewed there by Michael Tiersen on Rittenhouse Square for our 20th anniversary. And he said, you know, but the very idea that for the first show, I thought you guys would get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
He comes here to play the records.
Nothing.
There's not one record there. And they actually had to go up and buy the beginnings of what became the MMR library.
That's a radio nightmare dream that you might have. Like, legitimately, you show up in your show and you're 3 seconds from start time and there's no records here. You didn't bring the records with you. That's exactly the type of dreams that we have.
It was not uncommon, though. You know, in earlier radio, you'd always see DJs showing up with a bundle of records that they, you know, that they wanted to get on air or play or run past the PD or whatever. It was always guys always walking around with record jackets.
Big satchel.
That's the very satchel that Michael Tiersen threw out the window that Kevin told us about last week.
Yeah.
It was a custom-made leather Atlantic Records record bag, like a man bag, but custom-made only for albums. And it had the Atlantic logo on it. It was, I remember seeing the bag, but it did have some scuffs on it because he threw it.
Why don't you throw it out of the window?
One of the great characters of MMR, and certainly very knowledgeable and bright, bright guy when it came to music. Yeah. More things than I could ever imagine knowing. Wow. Anyway, I just thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Cool, man. All right, you ready to do the letter?
I am.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
E, as in everything that rocks.
All right, we have a MMR 50th birthday prize pack, pair of tickets to the MMRBQ 2018, free admission to the MMR Mudder's Day, a 4-pack of tickets to Pierre Presents Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, 4-pack of tickets to the MMR Birthday Beer Bash, cheers to 50 years and $100 to spend in the WMMR Rock Shop. Complete details for all those events can be found at WMMR.com. We will give that away on Friday. What type of entertainment do you have in store for today, man?
It'll be fun. We got birthday bucks 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Through this week and through next week. And we also have some cool workforce blocks, The Who, Avenged Sevenfold. We're going to do a block of Foreigner. The original singer, Lou Gramm, is celebrating a birthday today. Our archive selection is going to be particularly fun. It was recorded on your show with the one and only Mata Shahu.
It's great.
So that's fun. I mean, you guys have had a ton of people come by and play, and we've decided to keep that archive feature going. It was only going to be 50 songs from the archives for the 50 years, and people have liked it so much, we're extending it for a while.
It's great. There's so much to tap into. You might as well, if there's ever been a year to go through it and just go hog wild, it's this year.
Yeah, and I played at 1:30, and then if people miss it, Jackson plays it for your drive home at 5:30, and Jackie plays it again at 9:30. So that's cool. And I will have, I believe, the shout-out of the gentleman who is the conductor, Michael Krajewski of the Philly Pops. We got the tape from the orchestra of him in between songs Friday night. They did a weekend of legendary rock and roll songs, Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, Coldplay, all kinds of stuff that they pulled out. Even Three Dog Night, they did Joy to the World, which was interesting. They did a great and this wicked version of Stairway to Heaven. But the conductor who you met when you conducted for a moment there.
Yeah, I did Philly Pops with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Right.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Yeah. But when you did that, you met him, and he's a really nice man. And about five songs into it, much to my surprise, he does this whole shout out to MMR and to, MMR's birthday, which was 2 days away on that Friday night last Friday. Friday. And so I've got that and a couple of reactions of orchestra members. And I even have some of the choral group that was backing up the orchestra singing Happy Birthday to MMR.
Nice.
So we'll have that sprinkled in over the course of the day.
Thanks for playing some of the Steel Panther stuff. I got your text. And
cool.
I tuned in. I got to hear part of it. I had an appointment I had to get to yesterday, but that was cool, man.
I replayed your great moment on stage. actually, a couple of them. We replayed both of them. One from the TLA when you did the great drum roll, and one from the MMRBQ when you were introduced as Tom Thompson.
Yeah.
And what's the lead singer, Michael?
Michael Starr.
Starr. And he kept saying, that guy effing rocks. This is the best MMRBQ jam ever.
That's cool. Love it, man. All right, let me take a moment to thank the sponsors, Dunkin' Donuts, official coffee of the President's Chief Show. The President's Chief Show runs on Dunkin'. We're also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and Monster Jam, Saturday, May 5th at the Link. Tickets at monsterjam.com. Tomorrow on the show, Jake Tapper.
Yes.
We're going to talk to him.
Wow.
And
he's from Philly.
Yep. And David Akers.
How about that?
After his little roast of the Cowboys at the NFL draft. So we'll chat with him tomorrow, too. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Why can't my iPhone GPS figure out the boulevard? It has me going from the middle to the outside to the inside to the outside. Get in the right lane. Get in the left lane. Get in the right lane. It's 2018. Figure it the f*** out by now.
Next message.
Everybody must get stoned. Have a little hump day.
Next message.
If you have to pull your car over to send a text message, good for you for practicing safe driving. But if you pull it over in the middle of a parking lot directly behind my parked car when there are plenty of parking spaces available, then of course I'm going to give you f***ing attitude, you f***ing
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.